I feel like the critics that sometimes like look at the at like a like an 8-word snippet of something somebody says. I'm like, you fuck.
Okay, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know the name of this fallacy, the advanced fallacy. We need to go back to naming these.
If you're going to claim that something is out of context, what that means is that the additional context should change how you view the clip.
Just disagree with this.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Because Tim is softening his language. But I don't fault Tim here. I just don't think Tim is aware of the whole of what Hasan believes in because he's so good at masking on, especially with all of the gay and insanely horny women that write articles about him and his armpit in a bathtub. If you've been inundated with these worthless journo slop articles, and you think there's any degree of truth to any of them, then it's understandable how you can kind of get a little mindfucked. Like, oh, well, I guess maybe he's just a little bit to the left of us.
And all of their critiques of Israel, Israel has just done everything that they
said. I don't know how to deal with this fallacy. Let's say that I come in, okay, and I say that all black people have the murder warrior gene, and a black person will murder a family member of yours because they have the warrior murderer gene. Unless you're like, I don't think that that's true. I don't think they have the warrior murderer gene. And then let's say that time goes on, and let's say at some point a black person manages to kill your family member. It's not accurate to say that all of their statements were justified. This is, I don't want to say low IQ, but this is like one of the dumbest takes that can possibly be given. If somebody uses faulty argumentation to make a claim, and the claim is not true, but then at some point something related to the claim happens, that doesn't make all the prior argumentation correct. This seems like a thing that is plainly self-evident to me, but yeah. Okay, I'm gonna get my prediction for this clip before I watch it. I know you guys are, it was kind of about this, but I think people don't necessarily understand how big the impact is of all of that collaboration style between a lot of these moderators in these different areas. It's not good.
Been very popular kind of in DSA world online, living the Twitch streamer life. You know, I mean, does he have as many viewers a night as Maddow? No, but he's got a big audience. The audience is a lot of people that maybe Democrats could need. It's a lot of disaffected Democrats. Sometimes one of my complaints with Hasan is that sometimes he focuses his complaints a little too much on the Democrats when given the threat of the other side. But like on balance, you know, he's also spent a lot of time criticizing Republicans. And I think you have this disaffected group of whether they be kind of independents or young people or folks that like think that both parties are bad. Particularly when it comes to policy, and they tune into Hasan. So it's a pretty important kind of demo, actually, for Democrats to try to recapture. I think Democrats did not do as well as they should have last cycle with voters who really are opposed to foreign wars, because Donald Trump lied to them and said that he was opposed to foreign wars. And they also were, you know, perceived Kamala to be more hawkish than she was. You know, I had Phil Gordon on to, you know, on this very point.
The Deprogram podcast was definitely low key, but he often talks to a stream about infecting and using the Dems for his purposes. Yeah, but I think the issue there is that Americans just don't really have any concept of what a socialist is. We really don't know. One, because Republicans have spent the past 5 decades gaslighting us, or at least 3 decades gaslighting us, thinking that every single fucking Democrat is a fucking socialist, okay? And then so you end up with this issue where Americans just think of politics on this singular left to right axis. And so when they look at people like Hasan, they're like, okay, well, he's just like a little bit to the left of us. They don't perceive the massive difference in foundational like political ideology. It's like, well, these people are fundamentally like anti-liberal people. These guys are not further along the axis. They're fundamentally different. But that's what makes it so hard when people like Tim Miller or other people want to engage with them as like people that can help us recruit into our party. They're not recruiting into our party. They're trying to take the party over and turn it into a completely different party. They're never, people like Hasan are never, ever, ever moving people from right to Democrat. Maybe there are some disaffected Trump people that he can move to socialist, but he's never taking somebody from MAGA to being a Democrat voter. That's just not, I say never, I mean, I'm sure percentage-wise, I'm sure there's some people, but generally that's just not the direction he's moving him. He's trying to convert Democrats to non-voters or socialists, and then maybe some other people, you know, on the right or the centrist, whatever, to socialists.
Yeah, these people are scary to have in your tent because they're actively trying to like consume you and move people from your side to theirs.
Yeah, and they're not useful idiots like, you know, Soypo wants to make them out to be, because they're not helping you move people along. There is no pipeline that they're moving people along where Hasan's like, well, if I'm like 50, like, if Hasan had a MAGA person and he was 50% successful with that person, he hasn't turned that person into a Democrat. He's just turned them into either a disaffected voter or they're still MAGA. Like, they're just never converting people along that pathway. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is like, he's more likely to turn off moderate Republicans from voting, or they're more likely to turn off moderate Republicans from voting Democrat than they are from like actually getting, I think, leftists to vote Dem.
Maybe, yeah. Or even more likely is to turn off Democrats, because that's who he spends the majority of his time fighting with.
Yeah.
Again, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. I think you really need to focus on what people fight against. The Republicans just don't fight with Hasan. They don't fight with these far left people. Hasan has never been deplatformed in his life. He gets banned from Twitch for 1 day at a time. The only time the Republicans go after him, it's just to like lightheartedly make fun of him right? You had I never remember this guy's last name, the comedian guy on Fox who was making fun of Hassan for the dog shocking thing, but that was it. He was like making fun of him for it, like that's it. Because these people are so valuable on the right, because they know that the biggest threat that the people on the far left represent, the socialists, are just other Democrats. That's who they spend all their time fighting with.
Kamala's national security advisor, like, talk through what her form.
It's because he hides his power level on news appearances. No, it's because he never targets the Republicans. That's why they never go after him. Just look at Hassan's relationship with Asmongold. He barely has fuck all to say about this dude that inhabits his platform.
I had Phil Gordon on to, you know, on this very point, Kamala's national security advisor, like, talk through what her foreign policy would have actually been. And she definitely wouldn't have had us in this stupid war. I think we know that now. And I think even Hassan would grant that. But, you know, there is a group of sort of left. Wow. And she definitely wouldn't have had us in this stupid war. I think we know that now. And I think even Hassan would grant that.
Would Hassan grant that? A lot of socialist types were saying that. I don't know if Hassan said this in particular, though, or I don't know if it was particularly Hassan said this, but a lot of socialist types are saying, I think Kyle Retard Linsky was saying this, that Trump is outflanking the Democrats on the left when it comes to Iran because of that one statement Kamala said, I think, where she was like, we're going to have a lethal military or something. And so everybody's like, oh my God, she's going to take us to war with Iran.
But, you know, there is a group of sort of leftist agitator types that very unhappy with the Democratic Party.
This was what Hassan's stream looked like leading up to the election. Wait, what is this?
An avatar front man, kind of for that wing of the party. Okay, so he becomes a flashpoint because this group called the Third Way, which represents kind of the centrist wing of the party, criticized Abdul al-Sayed, and was running for Senate in Michigan against Haley Stevens and Mallory McMorrow. They criticized Abdul for campaigning with Pike. They said the Democrats should shun him. They listed a bunch of offensive and crazy shit Piker has said over the years. And, you know, he streams like a million hours a day and is a leftist, right?
So like this is what I mean, is that, like, this is like a really good rebranding. And people don't realize, or I don't know if people realize it or not, that that's, well, no, I you guys should, because I get mad when people downplay Trump shit all the time. Oh, he's a wacky streamer and he says wacky streamer things and he streams a lot, right? No, this is not an issue of him just not controlling his mouth sometimes saying wacky things. It's that he is a genuinely abhorrent ideology, and he's like very, very, very consistent on that ideology.
He has some extreme and outlandish views that if you kind of cherry pick the worst ones, and I kind of went through that list. You know, one of the ones that people come to that I saw Piker walk back recently in an interview with Philip DeFranco was like calling Orthodox Jews inbred. I think that was one of the ones that they point to when they speak to like the fact that he's an anti-Semite. But some of the other ones are, you know, a lot of attacks on Israel and you know, I think some tanky-ish views about China and Russia. So,
like, he said a lot more than just that about Jewish people.
I said, but really the critique is about Israel and the fact that he is anti-Semitic. This is a critique coming from the Third Way. So they said the Democrats should shun it. Put out a big press release about this. No campaigning, no nothing with Hassan Piker. It was interesting, the Grand Platner in Maine actually canceled an event with Piker after that. So it wasn't as if there was not some effect to this pressure. After that, there's this like blog called The Jewish Insider that you would think
number
right
one
now,
enemy.
You know, given all the things happening in Israel, whether that be in Lebanon or Iran and elsewhere, I mean, they are our partner in this really stupid war. And BB was a big influence on us being involved in this war. You'd think that an organization called Jewish Insider would be like focusing on the inside story of that. They're not doing that. They're posting, as far as I can tell, a lot about Hassan Piker and, you know, his past comments on his live stream. So Jewish Insider then sends a questionnaire to John Ossoff, the senator from Georgia, saying, hey, will you rebuke Hassan on this list of things that he's said that were bad? And John Ossoff didn't reply. And then Jewish Insider wrote an article about why John Ossoff didn't reply. And it's like, why were they emailing John Ossoff in the first place? Well, it's because Hassan Piker said he likes John Ossoff, who's maybe a sleeper for him for 2028.
Which is really annoying because, oh, fuck, I just started the wrong thing. Because I distinctly remember Hassan shitting on Ossoff and I think
during
Warnock.
Thing.
Yeah, when we were doing the runoffs because they viewed them as moderate Dems, I think because they didn't support single payer healthcare or something like that. I remember because I remember making fun of Hassan when Warnock was trying to find people to play Among Us with. And then Hassan was like, whoa, oh, dude, Among Us, I'll play, hit me up.
It's like, so John Ossoff, the senator for Georgia, has to account for the opinions of every person that says that they like him. I don't think 2028. It's like, so John Ossoff, the senator for Georgia, has to account for the opinions of every person that says that they like him. I don't think that's a meaningful standard that we should be holding politicians to. So anyway, I posted that I thought that the John Ossoff campaign and anybody else running in 2028, if they're sent a questionnaire by some interest group that has a blog asking about their thoughts on Hassan Piker, they should tell him to eat shit. That is my main thought. I don't think this is very useful internal fight for a Democratic politician to be getting into.
I just don't think Tim Miller knows the extent of the insane shit that Hassan Piker is looking at, which is, oh God, it's so fucking annoying.
To be focusing their fight on Donald Trump. So I want to go deeper on that and like what I think people should do with regards to Piker in a second. I will say this, just before I go off on the Third Way and Jewish Insider and all these other candidates that are trying to make Piker the flashpoint. I've met Hassan. We're on a panel together. As a matter of fact, we can pull up this photo. Here, all of the people that hate Hassan always tweet me this photo and say that I'm like a pal with a terrorist or something because I happen to be standing next to him on this panel. This is a cropped photo. There are other people next to us. If someone points a camera at me, I smile, even if I am not bimbo-fied. Hassan and I are on this panel. It's a Crooked Media panel. We got invited. John Lovett was moderator, my friend John Lovett. And it was kind of a spicy panel, actually. It was just funny that if people like share this as like we are, it means that we are all buddies. The panel got most attention. I think The Atlantic wrote a whole article about how it was the spiciest panel at CrookedCon. Simone Sanders was there. I was arguing with Simone. I was arguing with Hassan. Jess Charloff was arguing with Hassan.
This is true.
Why don't we just play one little clip of me arguing with Hassan so you just can get a sense of the conversation.
Also true for Qatar too. Does Qatar have a right to exist only if everybody has equal rights for all religions? Is that true for Qatar?
I don't.
Or just Israel?
No, I don't care. I mean, yeah, okay. No nation state has a right to exist, including Qatar. Like, I don't know why you're bringing up Qatar, like as though I'm going to be like, oh my God, Qatar. Like, no, they pay me so much money.
I just say I don't know why that's the only country that doesn't have a right to exist unless they get equal rights for everybody.
Well, because it's an ethno state.
All of the countries in that region are ethno.
They are. Some explicitly so in their constitutions. Yeah.
So, question here, ethno-state, I had to think about this morning. Just because you're an ethno-state, that doesn't necessarily mean that is, like, a quote-unquote bad thing. Would you agree with that? Because I think this is, like, an actual interesting argument that you can have.
Kind of. So, there's a couple things to keep in mind. So, one is, actually, the entire world uses things like nation, ethnicity, race. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody uses these words differently. Like, I think between Canada and America, I think we use race and ethnicity exactly the opposite. I remember talking about this a while ago. And apparently Canadians use these words exactly the opposite as we use them in America. And then even in America, we just don't really define much of this stuff that well. But part of the reason for that is because in America, so many people kind of like take for granted the fact that we have so many people who are so diverse that there's not much of like an external threat by another group of people to the American identity. So because of that, we can say that like we shouldn't have any kind of ethnic protection or any kind of national protection or anything like that. It's just like a thing we just like take.
That's an American thing, I feel.
But in other parts of the world, like people do have a concept of like what is the ethnic identity of their nation, but also oftentimes it's not under threat. Like in Pakistan or whatever, you don't have like 100 million Indians that are trying to immigrate to that country or something like that. So for Israel, you're in a unique spot where you do have an ethnic group that you kind of want to protect, but you're also surrounded by people that would represent like a threat to the ethnic, I guess, like composition of your country. So they're one of the few countries that are in a position where they kind of have to be more cognizant of this issue. But then a lot of people from the West will come in and kind of impose their views ethnically, racially, whatever else onto them and say, well, this is wrong for this reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was like talking to Chad this morning. We were talking about like, I guess, off of this conversation. And I was just thinking like, well, is it wrong that Poland is currently like an ethno state? I don't know
if Poland enforces some kind of like Polish ethnic majority.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I guess then we get into, is that what an ethno state means?
Generally, did somebody post this or chat or did you email me or did you DM me today? Hold on. Somebody sent me like an explicit list of these things, actually. Where did I get this message? I'm trying to remember. I'm not going to be able to find it. But it was a list of a whole bunch of countries. But like, because I remember we were looking through for some of the Middle Eastern countries, they actually explicitly have in their like charters or constitutions, they actually explicitly have these things written out that like we will be a Muslim Arab protected state. But it just doesn't come up much because there's not going to be like 50 million people that are going to be immigrating to these countries. You know, like it's just not a thing that comes up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just thought this might like these are interesting conversations you can have. And I feel like so often we just come and ask retarded questions like, well, what would you do about a third party? It's like, okay, well, I'm in. Yeah, don't vote third party. I don't know.
Sure, yeah. Or you get people like the soy pill who are like, oh my God, ethno-state means ethno-supremacist. Like, that means you want to either kill or expel everybody else, or you think that your ethnicity is better than the other ethnicities or something, which is not necessary.
Yeah, because I feel like when Hassan uses the word ethnostate, I feel like there's a lot behind it.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to appeal to the
American sensibility of, like, ethno state means ethno supremacist means bad. That's what he's trying to appeal to.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not what it should mean, like, off the cuff or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, worldwide, sure. But if somebody in the U.S. says it, then yes, that is almost always what they mean, which is why it's kind of challenging
for
us.
Nick Fuentes is saying, like, we need an ethno state in America.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I think that is because he's a supremacist and believes that white people are just genuinely better. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
So I guess, like, I don't know. It's kind of annoying that you have to, like, because we're online, we talk to, like, an international audience, etc. You have to be careful, I guess, of
kind of, yeah,
who you're talking to, yeah.
Ethno state, Iran's an ethno state, Jordan's an ethno state, Saudi's an ethno state. So I'm okay with criticizing Israel. I'm just saying,
So you're okay with all of these other countries being ethno states then, and you're not just using that as a deflective mechanism to move the attention away from.
Oh, wait, is it this? Pro ethno state legal statutes. Tunisia is a free, independent, sovereign state. Its religion is Islam, its language Arabic, and its system is Republican. Pro ethno state. Oh, they're considering it an ethno state because it calls out a specific religion and language. I also don't know where these. I'd be really careful about reading lists like this. Hopefully, whoever put this together.
Would any theocracy then be an ethno state?
I don't know. Possibly. The problem, like, I've seen a lot of different people talk about ethnicity and nation. Like, I just see these words talked about differently quite a bit. I don't know if there's, like, a super agreed upon definition for these things. Destiny, you conflate a state religion with an ethnostate a lot. I've never done that in my entire life. You're probably a very white person who hears Arab, and then you think I said Muslim because you're fucking retarded. But I don't know if a lot of EU countries are explicitly Christian nations. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. That might be. There might be some people who would consider religion as part of an. I don't know, actually. I'm in murky waters here. It's difficult because so many people like talk about like ethnicities and a nation of people and everything in different ways. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
At Destiny, what is your response going to be when? But Destiny, you're edgy. You've said really edgy things. It said in response to you making the case for Hassan being super radical and bad news to associate with. I don't think Hassan is bad news to associate with. That's not my argument for Hassan. My argument for Hassan is that Hassan is a toxic ideology that is corrosive to the Democratic Party because he's fundamentally an illiberal person. I would have far fewer problems with Hassan if he was just outwardly like a socialist who just was part of like a socialist party in the United States. It's the fact that he masquerades as a Democrat trying to act as a cancer inside the party. That's my main issue with Hassan. I don't give a fuck about edgy people. I've never cared about edgy people ever. My issue is the ideology, not that he's edgy. He's not even really that edgy. He's like safe edgy.
I would not consider Hassan edgy.
Yeah.
So the heart of my criticism, as you can see, is just that, like, I have a lot of criticisms of Israel right now, which we can get to that. Very many. They grow every day, as a matter of fact. But I can understand people who, you know, particularly Jews, who like get their back up and say it feels anti-Semitic if like you only attack Israel because they're an ethno state and that people don't have equal rights in the country.
I mean, they more or less they do. When people say that like people don't have equal rights in Israel, the only legitimate formation of that is if you're including Gaza and the West Bank there. Although I would argue that's a little bit more complicated than just saying they don't have equal rights in Israel. But Arabs and Jews and ethnicities that live in Israel proper will all have more or less equal rights. Now, some people try to fight against this and basically make the argument, well, there's racism, therefore it's an apartheid state. That's fucking retarded.
True. Everyone should have equal rights in Israel. That's a legit criticism of Israel. But it's like, if you are only going on Israel, 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 it's like, well, every country in that region is an ethno state where people don't have equal rights. Like, you can't be a gay Christian or, you know, in any of those countries, or atheist, you know what I mean? Like, you can't go into Saudi Arabia and expect to have equal rights, you know, if you're whatever, Jewish or Buddhist or gay, right? Like, so that is true of a lot of countries. It's a fair criticism of Israel. I think that there is a belief sometimes from folks, from Jewish folks, I think are sensitive rightly to anti-Semitism, like, that Israel gets...
I feel like Tim is taking on the weakest version of this argument here. The annoying thing is that there truly are Jews who do this like dog, like this, they cry anti-Semitism at fucking everything. Like, these Jews do exist, so they're also annoying to work with. But like, the issue is Hassan literally uses fucking like Israel has become a slur, or like Israeli, like, wow, very Israeli of you, like that people use
Israeli
this, yeah, Zionist, and it's a lot, yeah, more than just like criticism of Israel. Like, it's literally just, it's gotten really unhinged. Yeah,
singled out because there's an anti-Semitic subtext. So that was what we were kind of addressing. My substantive critiques with Hassan, which I shared with him on that stage and off, we talked for a long time in the green room, is simping for China.
Agree. A huge issue is the entire mainstream criticism of Assange is just people arguing Israel-Palestine. Yeah, it's annoying too, yeah. Which is why it's annoying that, like, Jews are the ones that have taken up this anti-Assange fight. Although, I mean, I understand why they would do it, obviously. But what are you going to do?
Stage and off. We talked for a long time in the green room. Is simping for China. I just don't, like, China is a repressive authoritarian state. That's what we're fighting here. And I think at times he's much too favorable to China for my taste.
This position is just so hedged. At times he is too favorable towards China. Like, he is a China simp. Assange is obsessively in love with China and literally went to the country to do a propaganda tour for them. That is not like the language is just so soft.
Brought home a little red book.
Yeah, that's given to him by a Chinese propagandist, like, tour guide, you know? I agree that anti-Semitism is growing at an alarming rate, but most boomers don't see it because most of it is arguably on the internet. How would you show the anti-Semitism to them? I don't know. I don't... Listen.
Just let the boomers die, guys.
Also, I don't care. The anti-Semitism isn't what bothers me now, okay? Listen, Israel fucked that shit up. You guys are all fucked now. That's on you. That's on you, Jews, to figure out. I just don't like that Assange is corrosive to the Democratic Party, okay?
I think that, you know, at times there's some playing footsie with the anti-Semites in ways that I don't really love. Like, some of the arguments, again, I can understand why they would make people uncomfortable. For example, he just tweeted earlier this week criticizing the state senator running for Congress in California, Scott Wiener. And he kind of listed the Wiener's offenses, and one of them was after October 7th, he visited Israel. And I asked Assange, I was like, why is that a problem? Who cares? Like, that feels like anti-Semitism to me. Like, he visited Israel? And Assange's point of view is that Israel's kind of like South Africa, and we should be boycotting it. Okay. I don't know. I mean,
can you really just let him have that?
But it's also hard, too, because if you don't do a lot of Israel-Palestine, there's a lot of, like, dog whistles and things that a lot of people... Wait, I don't actually know. Dude, I have no Judar. I just realized this. Is Tim Miller Jewish?
Someone in chat said he isn't.
Okay, somebody said no, okay. Hassan's has a lot of, like, anti-Semitic coded shit, too, but he just uses Israeli or Zionist a lot. So, like, the whole, like, anytime you hear somebody say, we talk about this a lot, like, go back to Brooklyn or go back to wherever, right? This is, like, the idea is that Jews, the ones that are there now are all just European transplants and they don't belong there, you know? Like, Hassan has so many dog whistles like this that he's constantly machine gunning out. But if you're not, like, aware of it, it just kind of all floats past you. And
a lot of countries that are really bad, and if we're just focusing on that one, I understand why some people have concerns about that, but I also have a ton of Israel criticism with Israel, by the way, and Israel continues every day to validate the arguments of their critics, and so that kind of complicates things as well. The most important disagreement I have with Assange is that I just am not sure fundamentally that he's a small L liberal.
True.
We jokingly said when I went on to the what was it called? The Jubilee Show, Surrounded. And they called me a liberal millennial. And people were like, Tim, are you a liberal now? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a liberal, like a small L liberal. I believe in liberal values, right? I believe in pluralism. I believe that we need to respect everybody. You know, everyone in this country has a right to the religion they want, speech they want. We have to live peaceably with people who have views that we think are gross. Like, that's part of being in a liberal society, sort of being in a liberal democracy. The Bulwark is here to defend liberal democracy. I think there's a huge threat to liberal democracy right now from the MAGA right. That is the main threat that the country faces. It's a bunch of authoritarian shitheads on the right that are trying to end this great experiment of liberal democracy that we have in this country. And I spend all of my days fighting that. I think that there's some, if you take a peek at the left, I think that there's some illiberal stuff being said on the left. And I think just one example, but there are many where there's some folks on the left that want
he's kind of a strong leader of their own.
But I think for a lot of these guys, they just haven't seen. They don't understand the extent to which Hassan says some crazy shit, right?
So, yeah, I mean, nobody in chat, et cetera, should be, like, fucking hating on this guy, et cetera. I just think that he doesn't know and he's not super informed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Impute that on Hassan, exactly, but some of his arguments would lead me to believe that he's not exactly an enthusiastic defender of liberal democracy, let's just say. So, if we ever get to a point where there's a Hassan-style candidate running for president, and then there's more of like a, you know, a more traditional liberal candidate running in a Democratic primary, I will be for more of the traditional liberal candidate, right? Obviously. And we can fight that out. But, like, my main thing about right now about this Hassan discourse is, like, none of that's happening right now. None of that's happening right now. The only reason we're talking about Hassan is because other members ostensibly of the anti-Trump coalition have tried to turn him into a litmus test and say that people can't be seen with him. Candidates can't be seen with him. And, like, I find that to be insane for a number of reasons. Number one, I think the timing on that is awful. Okay? All of our energy right now If you are for liberal democracy, if you are against Trump, if you think what's going on in this country is bad right now, all of our energy should be laser focused on undermining this regime and bringing in more people who are potentially opponents of the regime and adding them to our numbers, right? There is strength in numbers, whether that be at the No Kings protests, whether that be at the midterms this coming year, whether that be in 2028. Like, we need as many people as possible to brush back this threat that I believe seriously is an existential threat to the country. That's me, okay? And so right now in this moment, when Donald Trump is taking the entire world headlong into an energy crisis, where he's like engaging in a lawless war that he gave a nonsense speech about last night, that it was basically incomprehensible. We don't even know what the objective is. Like, when they are killing people in the streets of Minneapolis, like, this is not the moment to fuck.
If he asked right now, what is a single piece of evidence that you would use to convince him of the crazy shit Hassan says, it feels like normies wouldn't agree Hassan is anti-Semitic at all, and you would have to use a leftist standard through dog whistling in order to get there. Well, the thing is that, but like, the dog whistles are like real. But the thing is that, like, I just don't know how much Tim Miller knows about Israel-Palestine. It's one of those things where the problem is that, like, progressives kind of poisoned the term dog whistle by turning everything into a dog whistle. Destiny, isn't he a neo-Nazi? And it's like, why is that? Well, because doesn't he say all the time that he was born in 88? And it's like, that's when I was born in 1988. Yeah, but 88, bro? 88? Really? It's like that. This was like the level of where it was literally, you know, like 5 years of Inspector Gadget going through every picture of a person, and it's like, oh, I see the okay side, Nazi. And it's like, okay, can we fucking chill, right? But there's a difference between that and like real kind of dog whistles. Like, Christ is King is an obvious, like, you're saying this because you're trying to trigger Jews and shit on X, or you're trying to say fuck Jews, right? Like, that's like a real dog. Like, people say it intentionally, they know what it means, everybody kind of knows what it means, and you kind of wink, wink, nudge each other about it. For a lot of the stuff, like, Jews need to go back to Brooklyn, or the inbred stuff about Jews, like, a lot of this is kind of dog whistly. But if you don't know as much about Israel-Palestine, you don't really understand the things. I wouldn't even talk about anti-Semitism. I don't care that much. Listen, like I said, Jews, they fuck their shit up. That's all on them at this point. Yeah, I don't fuck them. I would talk more about the Democratic Party invasion stuff. I think Monk linked me this.
Like, you're this. Describing the reason why so many people simultaneously consider me to be a Democratic Party mouthpiece or a suck dem or whatever the fuck, but also a threat to America as well. Yeah. Because I do, just like you said, I do advocate for social democratic reforms. And I do think that in order to develop any kind of mechanism of pushback, a robust labor force that has any kind of, you know, speaking power, any kind of fighting power to strike at the heart of the imperial core where value is generated, I think that in the short term, in order to combat against that, you have to advocate for a much lighter form of propaganda, despite. You know, I perfectly understand that social democracies benefit tremendously from American imperialism, Western imperialism, and would not exist in the way that they do without such atrocities committed, right? Mm. But, you know, if you want America in the way that I feel about it, and if you want America to get out of the way for places with more revolutionary potential to do what they would normally do, I think that, you know, one thing you have to do is advocate for a lighter form while simultaneously still doing agitated propaganda that goes beyond, you know.
Right, social. Yeah.
This isn't even the best clip from this thing, too, because there's another one where before this or right after, they're talking about how, like, Hassan might seem kind of moderate, but he's serving an important purpose in, like, the radicalization pipeline to move people into our movement. Like, they're just explicitly saying it on the show. Like, they walk down the entire propaganda thing that they're trying to do. It's just, yeah.
Fucking nitpick some streamer who also opposes this. It's just not. All right. When they are killing people in the streets of Minneapolis, like, this is not the moment to fucking nitpick some streamer who also opposes this. It's just not.
Like, the problem isn't that he opposes it, or it's not like, okay, well, at least he opposes it. It's that he said over and over again that he doesn't think that it would have fundamentally been that different whether you were talking about Kamala or Trump. Like, these people are not our allies. They're not going to help us.
And on top of that, it's particularly not the moment to nitpick a streamer that reaches an audience of people that the Democrats are struggling with and that right now is a particularly ripe moment to add them. People that are opposed to this war,
people that are upset about Israel's prosecution of the war in Gaza, people that are upset about Israel's influence on our involvement in this war in Iran, people that are upset at the mostly Republican, let's be honest, but somewhat bipartisan, like military industrial complex that has gotten us into war after war. Like, there are a lot of people out there that are against that. I'm about to play you some videos of some of them who were for Trump, and some of those are right-wing people, but some of those are far-left people who got hoodwinked. We can be honest. They got hoodwinked by Jill Stein and by a bunch of far-left streamers and a bunch of people that convinced them that Kamala
was gonna... But the far-left streamer was Hassan, no?
Yeah. Get us into a war when really Trump was. We all saw that clearly. We can pat ourselves on the back. But right now, in this moment, when we're in this war, when people are feeling economic pain, this needs to be the moment to say, come on in to everybody, particularly people that are ranging from skeptical to hostile of this war and of actions in the Middle East. This needs a moment for that. And Hassan talks to some of those people. So to pick this moment, a month into the war, to pick this fight, is crazy. It's fucking crazy. And if you are a centrist, and I have some sympathies to that, obviously, if you're a moderate and you want to pick a fight with the left wing of the Democratic Party, let me tell you, there's a lot of potential options there. I mean, Lovett and I were talking about this week, about the mismanagement of California. They're trying to build a monorail there. They're not even breaking ground till 2041. We could go down the list. There are a bunch of things where the American people don't like the Democrats right now. And if you want to fight with the left of the party from the center, again, this I wouldn't think would be the moment to do that. But if you wanted to try to move the party to the center on something, on an issue.
Never mind. I'm not talking to Tim. I'm not talking to him. I'm sorry. I never should have brought this up. Holy shit. I'm not talking to him. Please stop spamming chat. 50 million questions of when am I talking? Am I talking? Please stop. I'm just kidding. This never happened. There are no talks coming up ever. I'm not talking to anybody else ever again. Jesus Christ.
There are a bunch of them out there that the public would be on your side of. To pick Israel and Hassan Piker right now as the issue to fight about, to advance the interests of the center of the party, all you're doing is undermining the credibility of the center of the party, right? All you're doing, 90% of the Democrats voters are against this war. And the popularity of this war and of Israel and of Middle Eastern conflicts is going down by the minute within the Democratic coalition. And so for you to be like, now we as the centrist establishment serious types want to exile a far leftist from here because he has some impure thoughts about Israel. It's like, all you're doing is making it more powerful. All you're doing is making people think you're a bigger idiot to pick right now to have this fight. And it is truly, it's like madness. Like, the entire country is moving the other direction. We can just be honest. It's moving Hassan's direction on the question of Israel. And you're like, we're going to pick a fight with him on that right now? When Bibi and Trump are careening the world economy, they got us in this war they don't know how to get out of. They're doing war crimes, bombing schools, girls' schools. What are you doing? I don't get it. We did this already 5 years ago, where a bunch of liberals were like, you can't go on Joe Rogan. He had some bad opinions.
There's also this weird thing where people like never differentiate. Hassan plays this game a lot too, strategically, where people never differentiate the like between going on somebody's platform in an incredibly friendly, non-combative way, mm-hmm. versus like, talking to somebody, but making sure that you're understanding that this is going to be like a combative interaction. You're critically challenging them. You have different opinions, you know, like the comparison here between like nobody has a problem, or I would imagine nobody would have a problem with somebody going on to Hassan's stream or whatever else if they wanted to challenge him on the things that he said to kind of like fight for his audience and ideology and all that. That's not the issue. But you're talking about going on, like treating him like he's an ally of the Democratic Party and he's here to help us all work together to beat Trump. Like, that's the issue. Like, the conflating of these types of, should we share a platform with him? Well, like, didn't you want him to go on Joe Rogan? Yeah, but not to go on Joe Rogan to be buddy-buddy with them the entire time and pretend that...
No one would be mad at... Yeah. Fucking Theo Vaughn for having
Trump on
Trump
if it was a challenging conversation.
Yes, they just want you to be able to push back.
You can't do this shit again.
This is stupid. If you personally don't like Hassan Piker, that's fine. Me and Hassan disagree on a bunch of stuff. We're gonna argue about a bunch of stuff over the next coming years, the rest of our life, as long as we're streaming. We'll be arguing about various things, and that's fine. People can agree with me sometimes, him sometimes, maybe some people agree with me all the time, him all the time. That's fine. But like, what is the utility of trying to shun him and his audience right now? If you're in the pro-democracy coalition, it's moronic. So, some of the people that are involved in that, I talked to some of the guys from the Third Way, and they're like, we're opposed to the war. They've posted about that. They tweeted that clearly. Like I said, that there is some evidence that, you know, Plattner and others have distanced themselves from Piker, and so it's not as if there hasn't been some effect to it. But I just think in the, like, short, medium term, like, the trajectory of this, like, this is just really, really dumb. Really, really dumb for me. And I explain this here on our Reddit page. We can pull back up the links. I'm about to show the clips on our Reddit page. If you're not on our Reddit page, get on it. Here's this guy. Or maybe it's a woman. I guess I don't know. Does they say their name? Their Reddit handle is Witty. And they say that they started following Hassan back when they were in high school. And then after college, they became a full...
Wait, is he going to read this whole post or do I need to read it?
I don't think he reads the entire word for word, but I don't remember.
Hi, I first found Hassan from the Young Turks back in the day when I was in high school and college. I stopped watching TOT because I don't like Cenk. After college for me, I became a full-on Hassanabi head, and that is how I remain today. Hassan is my guy, but he is a complete outsider, and I need the news. After October 7th, I couldn't just sit and watch the atrocities that were being committed in my name. That brought me to the Majority Report, a more news-style show. But after a few months, I went back to also listening to Hassan. From then till Trump 2, my diet stayed consistent, but in the wake of Trump 2 and then No Kings 1, my algorithm started showing me more independent news. First Breaking Points and then Bulwark. A few weeks in, and I found out Tim Miller is a former Republican. Then he has on Sager from BP, and he voted for Trump in 2024. Yesterday, I finally signed up for the Bulwark, and I thought they were center-left, not center-right. All this to say, when Tim Miller is confused by someone coming up to him, saying him and Hassan are his favorite podcasters, that resonates with me. It's not about left, right, center. It's about whether you care about humanity and checks and balances, a competent government, change. Any other Hassanabi heads that started listening to the Bulwark accidentally?
Well, Hassanabi and Hassan back when they were in high school.
Witty 19. I wonder what this guy normally posts or talks about. What? I'm going to continue backing him that we need a radical change this moment, and as long as he keeps highlighting American exceptionalism, fighting for economic justice in America and the end of Sharia law at home and abroad, I am not going to believe he is secretly a China first guy. Hassan highlights American exceptionalism how? He is great on how state violence works. Prisons, U.S. sanctions, our Islamophobia problem. We give a maximalist definition of anti-Semitism, as we should, but then people can just say the most horrific things about Islam. NATO. How does NATO fit in with these things? What? Okay. He left the Young Turks. He worked for his uncle's company, briefly. Didn't he work for the Young Turks for like 5 years? Hassan doesn't peddle in conspiracies to his audience. There's always real reporting for the information he provides, and he is a positive voice for change in a world where the answer seems to be fear and polarization.
Stay strong, Steve.
What does he post besides this thread? Damn, he's posting a lot in that thread. Holy shit. It's like 100 posts.
Oh, and Destiny, hold on.
What?
He talks about you.
Oh.
Oh, and Destiny fans.
Wait, hold on. I say this with all due respect. Fuck Hassan, fuck tankies, and anyone else that told people they shouldn't be voting for Kamala Harris over Donald Trump, or that they won't vote for Newsom over Trump and Vance, especially after American citizens were murdered by the Gestapo in Minnesota and we were over the Ron. LOL, I voted for Kamala. We are allowed to disagree. But yeah, Newsom is just a Barack 2.0. In my opinion, if we want to save America, we need radical change in the moment. Just look at him squirm on trans issues and Palestinians. If we want to root out hypocrisy, we have to root it out. Imagine using Barack Obama as a disfavorable comparison. Holy shit. Also, yeah, we got to have strong issues on trans issues and Palestinians. Hell yeah.
I'm sure the Democratic voters care about those.
Republicans want us to. Oh, and Destiny fans are interesting. They can try and slam me, but it'll just come out 3 years later when they're being investigated that they were sending bad faith arguments. Okay.
What fuck does that mean?
Good for you for posting this, but I am worried about the army of hate you may be about to receive. Unfortunately, this sub has quite a few obsessed humans or bots posting at all times, and sometimes deranged factless mode against anything remotely lefty, and hating on Hassan Piker is a biggie for them. There is a mix of Destiny children, third way, dated cons, and some likely organized campaign to simply use any post to say that the left should be expelled from the coalition, without quite defining the left too. Ignore the mentions if you can, if they become Shiite. Like, nothing, what is happening? He's going to get mean comments on a Reddit thread? These guys are acting like they're going to find this guy and swat him. Jesus. Or murder him. What the fuck? Is it all just sports? Red flag.
Huge red flag.
This guy's whole Reddit history is just talking about fucking football. And then his post about Hassan. Okay. Whatever.
And then after college, he became a full Hassanabi head. And he remains that today. But then Trump 2 started. He wanted to diversify their content. And the algorithm started serving him some other anti-Trump stuff. And they fell upon the Bulwark, and now this person's a big Bulwark fan too. And like, that is great. And that guy, I don't know, this person that wrote this probably disagrees with me on various things, but like, that's okay. Maybe I'll make some good points some days and influence them. Maybe some days Hassan will make some good points and influence. That's the point. That's what we're doing. This work to Hassan pipeline, Hassan Piker to Bulwark pipeline. This is what we want people doing.
Like, this is not happening. I am so sorry, but there is no world where Hassan's audience is favorably engaging with the Bulwark. I'm pretty sure they would, they might even be more likely to favorably engage with me at points. Like, there's just no shot that this is happening.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to hear something that they don't like, and then they're going to become Bulwark fucking anti-fans and go back to their echo chamber.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how much these guys would even, what they would even align on.
This is what we want young people to. Maybe some of you right now watching me didn't know about Hassan before this rant, and you'll go the other way. That's okay. That, like, that continuum from Hassan to us is what we want. That's a broad continuum. That's broader than Kamala's continuum, really. What I worry about with Hassan is people going the Hassan to Candace pipe. That's what I worry about, okay? Because they maybe go to Hassan because they're upset about what's happening with Israel, and then they see some right-wing real anti-Semites like Hassan or Nick Fuentes or Tucker, and they're like, oh, I like...
Wait, did he just say Hassan or Nick Fuentes or Tucker? Did he accidentally throw him in there? Was that a mistake?
Because they're upset about what's happening with Israel, and then they see some right-wing real anti-Semites like Hassan or Nick Fuentes or Tucker, and they're like, oh, I like that point. And then we lose down the radicalization pipeline. That's what we don't want, okay? We don't want to scare those people out by saying, oh, you're not going to be welcome. We're going to say burn the witch if you want to come to our party. And so instead they start, you know, mainlining Candace. So there's my rant. I want to go on to some other stuff.
So my take on the Big Ten here is I think it's fine to have these people in the tent, but they just need to not have a voice until they prove they'll vote like Dem, no matter who, and fight for them to win. So if their preferred candidate doesn't win, they need to still continue with the same fervor that they had before, or else they shouldn't be allowed in the tent, and they should shut the fuck up, and they shouldn't be serious. You shouldn't listen to them. So what do you feel about the Big Ten kind of thing? What are your full feelings here about specifically, I guess, Hassan and being allowed in?
Okay, this is my theory. The reason why I feel, I'm vibing this out, I don't know if there would be any way to validate this with polling data or anything else, but the reason why I feel like Democrats have such low approval ratings, even though Republicans' approval ratings are so low too, is because Democrats don't spend any time trying to build up like a version of the things that they believe in. And instead, they're just constantly either trying to define themselves as the opposition to Trump, kind of, or something I think is happening recently, is just doing this weird call for like big tent, big tent, big tent, but like doing it incorrectly. Like if we're going to have a big tent party, in my opinion, big tent means that you have a political perspective that can broadly incorporate a lot of different types of voters. That's what big tent would mean. But when people talk about big tent, I feel like the way that they use big tent is that we need to constantly run to people that fucking hate the party and try to bring them back into it. And I feel like when you're constantly in mass apologize mode and mass like acquiescence to more radical elements of your party mode, when you're doing this type of thing over and over and over again, like it wouldn't surprise me that there's no positive feelings about the party, because it feels like you're just constantly being cucked by all of your haters. That's why, so like if somebody says big tent, like we should have views that appeal to a broad, you know, amount of people, like I think that's fine. But it can't be that we're just like impossible. It's impossible for us to have, you know, like our own political views that we can talk about. And
well, these people need to come to the Dems.
Yeah, but I understand that, but that's not happening. What we're doing is just constantly like we have to give this and we've got to give that and we need to give this and we need to give that.
They're constantly inviting them in and then capitulating.
No. Yeah. But it's not even inviting. Yeah. It's like giving concession after concession after concession. And like, this is a world that, and this is the issue too. Like this is how, and again, I wish there were ways to find numbers on this, so I'm vibing this out, but this is how it feels. Okay. You have, you've got this group of people right here that are voting. You have this group of people right here that are not voting. Or no, we were over 50%, right?
I think so in the last election.
Yeah. So I would call these like voters. I would call these, I guess, maybe like disaffected voters or whatever. Like people that just aren't voting at the moment. No turnout. And then you've got like these people and like these people.
Maybe
and
smaller.
And like the conversation is like, how do we appeal to these people? How do we appeal to these people? How, we got to do this. We got to do this. Also, these people like have stated outwardly that they want to fucking destroy your party. Like they're hostile towards your party. Like,
well, and they have nobody in power.
Yeah. That's why they're so small. It's like, why do we keep running to this? Why not like come down here and be like, hey, we need to turn out our voter base more by having like strong candidates that believe in real things that everybody can kind of get behind and everything else, you know?
Yeah.
Like this is my big issue. I hate all of these conversations. These are like dominating our discourse. It's so fucking annoying.
Again, I don't mind if they join Big Ten, but they need to not have a voice until they prove that they're going to vote Dem or liberal.
To throw him in here because why not? Destiny. Because that's our destiny.
That's me.
That is an interesting one. Do I, if he were to like fully lean into being like a reactionary figure, I think he could be he would be welcomed, and I think he could have more impact. But because he's so autistically capable of just doing that, where he won't like take that dive, and instead he's like, I'm a Democrat. I'm a neoliberal centrist Democrat. The probably like the most dying fucking movement of all time who wants to say slurs, which is the only...
Why is it that... I don't understand how Hassan can say... Did he say I'm a grifter? Or that he says my political beliefs are disingenuous, but he's like, I don't know why he doesn't just identify as like a neoliberal or something. Like what? Maybe it's because these are my political beliefs? I don't know.
Lean into being like a reactionary figure. I think he could be a... he would be welcome. And I think he could have more impact. But because he's so autistically incapable of just doing that, where he won't like take that dive, and instead he's like, I'm a Democrat. I'm a neoliberal centrist Democrat. The probably like the most dying fucking movement of all time who wants to say slurs, which is the only thing that like neoliberal Democrats don't want, right? Like that's the only discernible political movement that you can identify with like the centrist neoliberals is like, we're woke. We don't want to say slurs. We don't even care about like the racialized outcomes of you know, systemic racism and all the disparate outcomes for like black people, brown people. We don't even care about that. We'll like, literally lean into it, but don't you dare say a slur. And he's like, no, I'm the anti-woke Democrat. So right. He has no constituency at all. And I don't know why he has not given up on like identifying himself as a Democrat, but if he were to like lean into the fascist...
When you say ethnic cleansing is not always bad, it's on you to say when it's good. You made the claim, don't turn it into an Uno reverse card question. You've done this. Somebody answered the exact question. It's very confusing. What are you talking about? I literally have examples where it was probably good. No? Like, I know that there were people that died, but the population transfers that happened between Turkey and Greece and the population transfers between, I think for India and Pakistan, I think it was pretty brutal. Like, there were a lot of deaths that happened, but like in the end, it probably was better than not. Same. And then post-World War II, I know that there were Germans that were expelled from a lot of areas after, including people who just lived there but weren't part of like the invasion. But I mean, like, I think these things were a little bit more accepted at that time period. Like, if people lost wars, there were just sometimes there were just big population transfers of people. Sometimes when nations were reforming, well, the concept of nations, everything started in the 1900s. But I think generally speaking, like, these were kind of normalish things and they were seen as acceptable at the time. And it was probably better than the alternative of keeping a whole bunch of people around that were eventually going to either fight, rise up and kill you, or you were gonna have to kill all of them. Like, I don't know what the alternative would be besides like another war or like civil war or genocide or whatever the fuck else.
The stuff beyond, you know, being a straight up fascist, which he is. If he were to like openly say I'm a Republican now, I think he could be a somewhat more powerful force on the Republican side. I mean, he is a little bit of a cockroach too, in the same way that like Nick Fuentes is, where he just like digs himself out of holes that he makes for himself with regular frequency. He is his own enemy. He's his own...
You're just listing ethnic cleansing without saying why it's good.
It is better than the alternative thing. Like, it's probably the best solution to the issues of having massive, perceived to be hostile populations in your states after reforming states or after having wars. Unless there are alternative solutions that I'm not aware of that just weren't never explored.
What was that? I missed it.
I fucked yo mama. Yeah, just that sometimes population transfers happen after wars and stuff, and it was probably preferable to everybody killing each other being like a civil war.
On worst enemy, so
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I would say maybe a three, but for the time being, he's a zero because he is all he's doing is getting his increasingly shrinking audience of sex cult autists to I don't know, voting for Pete Buttigieg.
Where's our sex cult at?
Or something.
Where is
our sex cult? Word of the white guy.
Mike must have been so happy he finally got a Hassan talk, though. You joked earlier that people ludicrously believe that ethnic cleansing is merely one step up from genocide, but all your examples are ethnic cleansing as the lesser evil to genocide. Well, I think population transfers are significantly preferable to genocide, no? Even Tim and Sarah disagree on Hassan Piker.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Is she on our side? Really, no.
We're here with our publisher, Sarah Longwell. She has a book coming out. I don't know if you heard about that. I wanted to talk about an article that our colleague Lauren Egan wrote with, you know, behind her back a little bit. So you guys can alert her to it if you want. It's called How Big is the Democrats' Big Tent? And it's centered around this question of the streamer, Hassan Piker, who is on the far left. Is he even a Democrat? I think is a question. He's one of DSA. He has a lot of critiques of the Democratic Party that come from the left part of the coalition. His critiques of the party are particularly acute when it comes to Israel and their actions in Gaza and our broader military involvement around the world. And the question is, there were some Democrats who were saying that Democratic strategists and commentators were saying that the party shouldn't associate with Piker because he has some extreme views. We can, you know, we can debate the extent of this, but he said some things that are either anti-Semitic or anti-Semitic curious or adjacent, and the questions are whether people should deal with him. So I think that I went long on this topic on the stream last night for you to be like, now we as the centrist establishment serious types want to exile a far leftist from here because he has some impure thoughts about Israel. It's like all you're doing is making him more powerful. All you're doing is making people think you're a bigger idiot to pick right now to have this fight. And it is truly, it's like madness. And the entire country is moving the other direction. We can just be honest. It's moving Hassan's direction on the question of Israel. And you're like,
I really, 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 I hope Tim doesn't get pushed more into this position. I don't like the framing of this as like just pro or anti-Israel. Like, you can be insanely anti-Israel. You can be the most anti-Israel motherfucker on the planet without being insanely anti-Semitic and without hating America. Like, you can do this. It's not even a hard needle to thread. Like, ugh.
We're going to pick a fight with him on that? Right now? I don't get it. We did this already 5 years ago where a bunch of liberals were like, you can't go on Joe Rogan. He had some bad opinions.
This comparison.
It's just like, we can't do this shit again.
Yeah. So people can go if they want to hear my full sermon. I did, I think, 20 minutes on this topic last night because it's complicated. And I just want to kind of break this down. Sarah saw all of that, some of that, some of it.
I saw the whole thing. I watched the whole thing.
Okay, Sarah watched the whole thing. Wow, JVL's going to be jealous. Sarah watched the whole thing, my whole long sermon. And so I just want to set this up. I just kind of want to break it down. There are a bunch of sub-elements to this, right? Like, which is, do I agree with Hassan Piker's politics? Like, I do not. And I went through some of those disagreements. Should people go on Hassan Piker's show? I think yes. We can talk about that. Should Democrats campaign with him? Like, there are differing views on that. Should there be a litmus test somewhere in the party? Like, where should the Democrats draw the line in their big tent? Like, should the tent encompass the entire country? Or, you know, should there be polls that people, if people fall outside those, they shouldn't fit inside the tent? So, like, those are kind of, you know, I think sometimes the conversation, like, all that stuff gets jumbled up into one thing. And, you know, my views are different on different sort of sub-bullets. So I just kind of wanted to start there. You watched my whole thing. On which one of those elements do you feel like your disagreement is with me?
So I think I want to start with kind of Hassan Piker, the guy, the stuff he says, and like, who is he? Because to evaluate him is then to evaluate the rest of your questions, right?
Okay,
is
fair.
Should he be in the tent or out of the tent is a question of like, okay, who is this guy? What does he believe? What does he talk about on what is a relatively popular streaming site? And I'll just give you a flavor of some of the things that pop up from Hassan's critics.
Please, God, let her have things that aren't just about Israel. Please, God. Please, God. I believe in you. Sarah, you can do this. Sarah, you can do this.
That I have seen and that I think are quite terrible. So America deserved 9/11, dude. On China, he says, we hyper-focus on the social repression or the civil liberties, or not even civil liberties necessarily, but free speech and things like that. But in terms of good governance, there's a lot we can learn from the way they perform out there. At least they get results. And he has a lot of very pro-China tips.
Oh, no. Never mind. I changed my mind. It's over. Never mind. Hassan will be fully integrated into the... It's over. It's all over. It's all over.
There's one that he says was a little bit taken out of context, but he says, doesn't matter if the fucking rapes happened on October 7th. That doesn't change the dynamic for me even this much. So that's the other part of this problem that many people can't contend with. Like, the Palestinian resistance is not perfect. They're not, like, so good. They have magical bullets. I don't know what that means. He says, Hamas is 1,000 times better than Israel. On Hezbollah, he said, overall, what's my favorite flag? Hezbollah. Look it up. I'm not even kidding. It's actually a dope flag. It's got an AK on it and a fucking hand holding it up. On Dan Crenshaw, losing an eye in Afghanistan. What the fuck is wrong with this dude? I also dislike Dan Crenshaw, but I would not say this. Didn't he go to war and, like, literally lose his eye because of some Mujahideen, a brave fucking soldier, fucked his eye hole with their dick? On Israel being full of inbreds. You are left with a country that is packed to the fucking gills with the most inbred, uneducated, ultra-nationalist, rabid, Haredi population. On Russia's annexation of Crimea. Annexation of Crimea was absolutely a justifiable annexation. What do you call Crimea? I call it part of Russian territory, bitch. I call it Crimea River.
That's a good one, but...
Russian River. The annexation of Crimea was absolutely a justifiable annexation. On black people. Black people care about the border? I don't give a fuck what black people care about. Black people care about this. Black people care about that. Like, shut the fuck up. That's not how politics work. I'm not going to rank these, but this one's a real doozy. Date rape is better if it happens to rich women.
Okay, this is a crazy one.
Wait, what's this one?
If you have these fucking
Wait, what? You haven't heard this one?
No.
When Hassan says, at least if guys are raping girls on these college campuses, at least it's rich girls getting raped.
No, I have never heard this.
What? Does anybody have a link to this clip directly?
I find this hard to believe that he's said
you
that.
Haven't seen this?
They were...
Hold on.
No.
They were...
At least Patrick Henry College is, like, doing one good thing, which is that, like, if you have these fucking millionaire, billionaire WASP fail sons, at least taking them out of other colleges so they can only do date rape to other billionaire, millionaire fail daughters is, like, in some respects, you know, from a utilitarian perspective, of course, a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like, taking these guys and putting them in a pen with one another is ultimately getting them away from the broader society.
Teaching, they were
That's kind of a crazy one.
Millionaire, billionaire, WASP fail sons, at least taking them out of other colleges so they can only do date rape to other billionaire, millionaire fail daughters is in some respects, you know, from a utilitarian perspective, of course, a little bit better. Okay, Piker told off a listener who condemned the massacre on October 7th, a bloodthirsty, violent pig dog suck my dick. Okay,
let her
so that's the guy. That's the guy. I do not think any Democrat should look to include him in their coalition. And here's the thing. You mentioned my book at the top. I just wrote a whole book that is going to come out in September. It is 300 pages.
300.
It's called How to Eat an Elephant One Voter at a Time. It is 300 pages about how you build a winning coalition. There's not a single paragraph that recommends cozying up to people like Hassan Piker. I talk a lot about big tents. I talk a lot about a pro-democracy coalition. But here's the thing. Hassan Piker doesn't actually belong in the pro-democracy coalition.
True.
He's an illiberal guy.
Thank you.
He's a China-Russia sympathizer who hates women, hates Israel. Like, he's...
What would be in your... Maybe after this video, maybe we'll do some. I'll put together stuff. I should have clips ready to go for him anyway.
All the toxic things. And I think... And I was listening to you last night, and I was like, my biggest problem with it, because I agree with you in some places, my biggest problem with it is I felt like you were soft selling who this guy is. Like, at one point, I think you called it, like, impure thoughts or something.
True. This is one of my defenses of Piker, which is also a defense of myself, is that if you're streaming 8 hours a day, I feel like the critics that sometimes, like, look at the, at, I guess, like, an 8-word snippet of something somebody says, I'm like, you fuck.
Okay, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know the name of this fallacy, the advanced fallacy. We need to go back to naming these.
If you're going to claim that something is out of context, what that means is that the additional context should change how you view the clip. An argument that I would make was that my clip that Jesse Waters played, got my YouTube to monetize, I would say that that was out of context. Because I think that if you listen to the clip that he played, I think an ordinary person could come away from that thinking, Destiny is saying that conservatives need to start being killed in greater numbers. That's kind of what it sounds like. Conservatives need to be afraid. Destiny's advocating for violence against conservatives. That's a fair reading if you listen to the clip he played. I think if you listen to my entire talk on this, or the whatever 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or whatever, when I'm speaking of this, it's instead incredibly obvious what I'm saying is that conservatives are acting without fear, and they seem to be inviting civil war. They're always horny for civil war. There's no fear on the conservative side. They think that this would be based or awesome. I think that was what an ordinary person would. So when Hassan keeps doing this thing where he's like, oh, it's out of context, out of context. Well, would the additional context change the way that we view the clip? When Tim is talking about, like, well, if you're streaming for 8 hours, you might say something dumb. You can say something dumb or imprecise or whatever else, but, like, Hassan issue is not that he streams too much and so some stuff just slips out that was, like, phrased poorly. Like, these are core ideological contentions.
Like, look at the, at, I guess, like, an 8-word snippet of something somebody says. I'm like, you fucking talk for 8 hours a day. I just talked for 1 hour a day last night, and I rewatched that video and saw impure thoughts, and that's not what
at least I'll be able to speak to this point. Like, okay, well, I'm somebody who streams a lot. Like, this, like, there are times when people can cut things out of context, but then the onus is on you to explain how are they out of context. It's not just to say, oh, out of context, and then you move on, right? Destiny, here's a clip of you saying, like, all women should be murdered. Oh, that's out of context. Okay, well, how? Oh, it just was. And then you just move on. It's like, what is the additional context? Would it change the way that I view what you're saying, or what
I was trying to say? You know, I was trying to say that, you know, you just talk for a long time, and
yeah, but
and
you don't, like, you don't accidentally say America deserved 9/11.
No. He had some very bad takes in there too. He had very, like, he had some really bad.
I don't like the America deserved 9/11 fixation, because, like, there are roundabout ways that it's not, like, as indefensible as people make it out to be. It's, like, pretty bad. The surface level reading is very bad. If you think about it a little bit, it's pretty bad. If you really get into it, you get into an interesting argument of how liable are civilians for the how liable are civilians in a democratic style government for the actions that their military takes with democratic approval, right? So if your civilian population votes for a particular military action that ends up killing civilians in the Middle East, you know, are those civilians to some extent liable such that terrorist retributive actions to them can be somewhat understandable or justified or whatever? I still think the answer would be no here for a bunch of reasons. But, like, it's not as indefensible as, like, 9/11 just murder American citizens, right? But I would say, like, you can have the fight on this, but there are so many other horrible things that... there are so many horrible things that Hassan, like, says and does that you don't have to point to that one, you know?
For sure.
Can I push back on this idea, though? They're not takes. Like, this guy has a worldview that I think is anathema to liberal democracy. It's not that we...
This, yes, she's going to say, it's not that we just disagree with it. Say it.
Just disagree with this.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Because Tim is softening his language. But I don't fault Tim here. I just don't think Tim is aware of the whole of what Hassan believes in, because he's so good at masking on, especially with all of the gay and insanely horny women that write articles about him and his armpit in a bathtub, right? If you've been inundated with these worthless journal slop articles and you think there's any degree of truth to any of them, then it's understandable how you can kind of get a little mindfucked. Like, oh, well, I guess maybe he's just a little bit to the left of us, or maybe quite a bit to the left of us, but still, you know.
Worldview that I think is anathema to liberal democracy. It's not that we just disagree with his politics. I think his worldview is gross, and the way he talks about people is disgusting. And so, like, I think he is all of the things that I think you were being too hard on sort of the third way types who are condemning him, because he is condemnable. And I think it is important. You and I spent a long time when I was on your podcast trying to take our longtime reflexive pro-Israel stances and kind of wrestle with that now in this new world. And I'm up for wrestling with that. And I do one of the things that is scared of Israel stances.
Oh.
Take our longtime reflexive pro-Israel stances and kind of wrestle with that now in this new world. And I'm up for wrestling with that. And I do, one of the things that is scary about wrestling with that is that there's a bunch of people on the, I'm against this war, I'm against Israel's involvement in this war, who do it for anti-Semitic reasons. And I think disaggregating from those people as you criticize this war is absolutely essential from a moral standpoint.
This is, I think, this is the crux of the deal. Because, as I said last night, I argued with Hassan about China on and off stage. I argued with China with Hassan about his focus on Israel on stage. And I think that he is a liberal, and I think that if Hassan was running for Congress or president,
you think he is illiberal.
I do, and I think that if he was running for one of those things, I would oppose him. I think that probably. I think it's very unlikely that me and Hassan will have the same preferred candidates in the Democratic 2028 campaign. If we do, that candidate will end up being very adept at navigating our very fracture. So who the hell knows what the future holds? But like, I don't like it. I don't like his worldview, and I think that it is worth objecting to, and I think it's worth people like us objecting to and hashing it out and fighting with him about it and arguing about a lot of the things that he thinks that are bad. I also just think that two things. One, people that consume him hear that list and are like, that doesn't mesh with the guy I know, right? And I think that if you came up with my 10 worst takes, they would not sound as bad as his list, or anywhere near as bad, I don't think. But especially if you go back, to 2004, I have some pretty bad takes going all the way back, okay? So I just mean, if you put my list together, I think a lot of Bulwark people would be like, guy, like, you're being unfair. Right. And because I think that there are a lot of areas where he is genuine, that he cares about stuff, human rights. And again, I don't watch his day to day, but I hearing this from other people, I think they would say, wait a minute,
too nice.
You're trying to turn him into like Tucker or somebody whose whole show is about anti-Semitism right now. But like he talks a lot about making sure people can get a living wage and human rights around the world and how we should care about rights
Tucker.
For people.
Yes. So does Tucker.
Okay, okay, fine. So anyway, I'm just telling you what people would say about him. I think that it is a category difference. A lot of people who are criticizing me about the stream last night were trying to lump it in with like, I thought you left Trump. And I was like, no, Trump had a lot of noxious views. And then he ran for president, tripling down on them and being like, hey, here are all my worst views. And like, I think that we should institute them as policy. Some of the things you laid out, I think Hassan would agree with. Some of those things, if you read the profiles of him, he's backed off on, particularly.
He says he does not apologize for any of them. He was just taken out of context.
Yes.
I don't walk any of them back, but maybe they were taken out of context.
Okay, well, maybe. I'd have to listen to that.
Okay, these are significantly different, though, right, Tim? Like, that's a lot different. He walked them all back versus he just claims he was taken out of context for everything.
I guess I just would say that holistically, it is a category difference for me that Trump, from what you hear from MAGA. All of that aside, though, because, you know, we can take the measure of the man and you can decide that he's a wholly unacceptable man. And I can say that he's a man that has some bad views and we can hash that out. The strategic question, the analytical question, is how Democrats should handle somebody like that.
And well, it depends, though, on that fundamental disagreement, right? If this is just somebody who's to the left of you or whatever, well, then, yeah, you should always be open to broadening your horizons and not excluding people for no reason, especially when Trump is such a threat. But these are important. You have to solve this fundamental thing first, right?
This is where I'm the harshest on the view that he should be kicked out. And I'm particularly
harsh. What do
you
mean exactly by this fundamental thing?
Like, Zohran Mamdani seems like a guy who's at least a bit, if not quite a bit, to the left of me, but he understands the importance of supporting the Democratic Party. He acknowledges the Democratic Party is significantly better than the Republican Party. He acknowledges that different candidates are appropriate in different areas of the country. Like Zohran Mamdani, there's plenty of room in the Democratic Party for a person like him. But Hassan has a fundamental disagreement about like what the Democratic Party should even stand for. In his mind, the Democrats and the Republicans are close to each other on everything because we need an overthrow of the capitalist system to usher in a new era of socialist, revolutionary, whatever bullshit. Like, he's a fundamentally different type of person.
But
you have to figure out like that fundamental difference, because Tim Miller, in his mind, Hassan and Zohran Mamdani are close to each other. That's how Tim is viewing it. These are close-ish people.
Would he call Zohran illiberal?
No, I don't think he would.
But he's calling Hassan illiberal.
Yeah, but I don't know how much stock he puts in that illiberal thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Because that's just hard for me to understand, that he considers them near the same, but he'll call one a liberal and he won't call the other.
Sure.
That. Okay.
Said this last night, and this relates to your point about Israel, about like picking this fight with him right now, like at this moment today, April 3rd of 2026. Because right
now, I also think you can make the argument that picking this fight right now, this is probably the best time to do it, because my guess is going to be, no matter what happens, the Democrats are probably about to sweep just because of how fucked Trump is. Just because of how completely
they're very
fucked
mobilized
Trump is.
Right
yeah,
now.
So this is your time for when new coalitions and stuff could show up in your movement, and you want to be careful about, you know, these things, you know?
So this is the time to figure out who you want in your party, in your tent.
Yeah, because there's a lot of space being created. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we are embroiled in a catastrophic war that the Secretary of State said we did because Israel got us into it. So, like, you can call that a conspiracy theory or whatever, but, like, the Secretary of State said it, and the President has basically said it, though he does word salad a bunch of times. And I just think that any fair analyst could look at it and say, well, obviously, like, this war is more in Israel's acute interest than ours. Like, that's just a statement of fact, right? So, like, we are in this war with our partner Israel right now on the heels of their behavior in Gaza, however you want to describe that, whether it's genocide or ethnic cleansing or war crimes or just more killing than was necessary, like anywhere on that continuum, like this comes after that. Now we've partnered with them for a war in Iran that is going to create massive damage globally to people's
lives. Like, nothing that Tim is saying is wrong, but Hassan believed that Kamala would have advocated for more or less the same. That's the issue.
It's like, people are going to be materially harmed by this war. They already are. And there are a lot of people out there in this country right now who are really mad about that. And they're about to get really madder in the coming months. And I think a lot of them look they blame Trump, but they also look at the Democratic Party and be like, you guys have been on this too. Joe Biden was in there when Israel was doing the Gaza thing. The Democrats have been, you know, part of this bipartisan establishment that got us into these stupid wars forever. And they look around for people, and who do they see out there saying, no, we should not do these wars. They're stupid. They're wrong. They see people like Hassan. And so in this moment where people are very bad, a lot of voters, that when you say how to eat an elephant one at a time, a lot of voters, Democrats are going to need, who, whether they be young voters or men who don't want to go to war or people whose costs are going to go up, like right now at this moment, a lot of them are assessing the landscape and they're saying, like, fuck.
Okay, sorry, why does he think that the Dems need these voters?
Because Dems are perpetually in this cuckoldry of like, we have to appeal to, it's the circle thing I drew earlier.
Yeah, but they should be coming to the Dems and groveling to,
because
be
the people
to
think that like there's no Democratic movement or there's no Democratic voters or nobody gives a fuck outside of like these really radical places, which I feel like is kind of proven wrong by the whole No Kings protest, because I feel like these are getting a fuck ton of people that are showing up that are just like center left.
They're the most popular protests ever. Like they're
yeah, and these are like the just yes. like center left Demers. These are not like crazy like socialist ultra progressive-y type people. Like they're just normal ass dudes.
Yeah, but I think the fucking ultra progressive socialist type people try to co-opt these movements.
They try
still.
To. They want to. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trump betrayed me. Like I thought I was on board with the no wars candidate. Okay. And they're gettable right now. I get as ripe as they have ever been to be gotten by the Democratic Party. And in this moment, the Democratic Party and their leaders should be focused.
Like the Democratic Party doesn't need Hassan to be anti-war. Like they can be against war without appealing to socialists. Like that's not just an exclusively socialist position.
My view on being as clear and loud and passionate as possible. No stupid wars. I will not get you involved in this. This is a mistake. To the extent that Israel is involved, the fact that our relationship is closely tied to them is a mistake. And if we ever get back in power, we will not betray you. We hear you. We see this.
And instead, you hear a lot of Democratic leaders being like, well, this is, we should kick this guy out. That's known, that's what he's known for. Like, if he's known for anything, it's being anti this stuff. And it's like, what? We're picking this fight with him now? I'm just like, I could think of 1,000 other things I would rather Democrats pick fights about now. Like, why him right now?
Because he's making their life harder. It is people like Hassan.
They're making their life harder.
Hold on. People like Hassan are making Democrats who want to take a stand against this war, right?
True.
And who want to probably take a stand against the way that Trump is just sort of like, you know, doing whatever Bibi tells him. They're trying to figure out how to do it in a way where they don't imperil the safety of Jewish people in this country. They're trying to do it in a way that is, they don't want to be anti-Semitic. And I'll tell you why Hassan is so dangerous is that what it does is it's exactly what Trump does. It's exactly what Nick Fuentes does and Tucker does. It takes maybe legitimate rage about something, and then it gives them an enemy to put it on. It gives them an out-group to blame for it. And I think you have to be so careful with that so that you're not doing that, which starts with condemning the people who hold the same position as you for reasons that are bad, for reasons that are hostile to
Jews. Here's where I disagree. Totally disagree. It starts with condemning the fucking war and condemning Israel. And condemning Bibi and condemning Trump and being passionate and clear about it. Because then what happens? Then, if you have the credibility then with the voters who were anti-war voters, who were unhappy about the way that they see the bipartisan establishment, and they thought Trump was going to be their savior from this, that there was this some blob in D.C., and no matter which party is in charge, we all get into stupid wars. They thought Trump was their way out of this. And now they're like, Trump's doing the same shit that all the other ones did that we said we didn't want it. He's doing it worse. And so now if the Democrats go to those people and go on those shows, they should be on those shows. Democrats should be begging Joe Rogan or Theo, whoever, to have them on right now. They should be on Manosphere shows being like, I told you, this was stupid. I didn't want to do this. This war
I don't even know if those shows will have them on, though, right? Like, Joe Rogan explicitly says, like, Gavin is begging Joe Rogan, let me on, and we'll chat. And Joe Rogan's like, no, we're not doing it.
Dumb. Our relationship with Israel is too tight. We should be reevaluating it. We should not be getting dog-walked into this war. By the way, MBS also sucks, right? Like, you can do that in a way that's not anti-Semitic because it's what it's happened. Like, it's happened. And so if they did that, and then in 5 months, they're like, you know what? Okay, look at this, though. Like, we cannot, you know, be shoulder to shoulder with somebody as this viewer or that viewer. We have to, like, then you have the credibility.
Why is there a five-month gap? Why can't it be in the same breath? I think it should, because here's the point. I do agree with you that nature abhors a vacuum, right? Like, part of what is happening is that there is a desperate anger over this war from a lot of people that feel betrayed by Donald Trump, that don't want any more foreign wars in the Middle East. And like, we're almost, it's not about Israel. Like, for some, for some people, it is about Israel. For some people, it is about anti-Semitism. Those are different. And then there's just a lot, I think the vast majority of people are just mad we're doing this again. And so, like, Democrats should be condemning it. They should be outspoken. They should be the one to try to gain a following by talking about this. But I think in doing so, they should separate themselves from people like Hassan. I don't think you have to wrap your arms around him. I don't think,
he has credibility, like, and they don't on this, though.
So they should go get credibility.
He has credibility. What do you mean by credibility? Well, like, that he's just been pumping this rhetoric for fucking years? I mean, like...
But what rhetoric? Just, new wars? Didn't everybody have that?
Yeah.
Exacerbating.
They don't need to borrow it from him.
I'm not saying they should borrow for it. I never said, here's the disagreement. I never said I think Democrats should campaign with him. I disagree with that.
I don't think they should go on a show? Hassan?
I think they could go on a show, but I don't think there's a problem. Yeah, like arguing with people or anything like that. I think that's totally fine. But it's a matter of like, what are you there for? Are you just there to circle jerk all day? Or like to pretend that this guy's on the same team as you? Like, that's the difference.
Hans? No.
Oh my God, that we could not disagree more. Oh my God, the people that watch Hassan's show are not terrible. The regular people, a lot of people watch Hassan's show. I hear from them. I saw them on the street. The
idea, I know.
This is like the same shit we just did with Joe Rogan. It's like Democrats shouldn't go on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has terrible fucking.
I can't believe this is getting conflated so much. My brain is melting here. Nobody said that Democrats should go on Joe Rogan and just be buddy-buddy with, like, the anti-vaxxers and the people who think that the lost city of Atlantis is 10 miles off the coast of Malibu. It's the idea of going on and, like, presenting your policy platform in a strong manner and then being aggressively anti, you know, the other people that they're bringing on. It's like showing, like, hey, like, I'm here, Joe Rogan, like, this is what we believe in, we're going to fight on this or whatever. That's different than just going and buddy-buddy upping with people. The different types of platforming seems to not be spoken about sometimes.
And views, they have to speak to those people. Those are the people that they have to speak to. Why wouldn't they do that? Like right now, especially right now when they're the most gettable.
Let's say so Nick Fuentes is out there saying we should vote for Democrats because Trump is doing this for Israel. Think Democrats should go on Nick Fuentes' show? I don't.
Nick Fuentes is full of shit is the thing.
Oh my God.
I don't think they should go on a show. But they need to be combative. They need to be fighting.
But not really so much because he's an anti-Semite. I don't think they should go on a show because he's like he's a troll. He's just a troll. Hassan really believes what he believes.
Like, this comparison is crazy. Fuentes is a troll. Hassan is genuine. Like, Fuentes literally had AFPAC. What were the two people that went to his conference? It was Marjorie Taylor Greene and a senator, wasn't it? Like,
you can say his beliefs are bad or wrong or shameful or should be condemned, and you could go on a show and fight him about it. But, like, Hassan is not out there doing, like, jokes about ovens and, you know, the Jew. There might not have been that many people killed in the Holocaust, doing trolling.
How are the denial of all the rapes or any rapes happening or the denial of basically any Israeli suffering, for the whole history of the country, not basically the same thing? It really kind of is. Like, again, Hassan just doesn't deny any of the rape stuff doesn't deny the Holocaust stuff because his enemies there are white nationalists.
I think Paul Gosar was the other one who was there for AFPAC or whatever. I've just never heard anybody say that they think Nick Fuentes is trolling and doesn't believe in his views. That seems insane to me. I think Nick Fuentes just believes his crazy shit.
What does Nick Fuentes even believe? Does anybody even know? Does he even know?
Look at Fuentes' life. Compared to Hassan's. Fuentes is banned from how many different things, from how many different platforms, from how many different banks. And then compare that to Hassan, who's never been removed from a major platform in his entire life. Like, which one here is a higher commitment to his belief? It's not even close.
He even knows what he believes anymore. Like, he's just full of shit. Like, it's like a variety show. But Hassan, like, has passionate left-wing views.
What'd you say?
Why does Tim think this? He's just saying, like, oh, he's full of shit.
He thinks it. The problem is, one, our minds have been rotted on what satire means. He probably thinks this because he saw Nick Fuentes go on to Piers Morgan, where Fuentes was kind of telling jokes. But, like, the jokes have something real behind them. But some people have this weird thing where when somebody engages in, like, satirical humor, they just assume the person has no foundational belief whatsoever. Where, like, if I were to show up and say something like, I thought of a new scam for the government, I'm gonna have, like, an organization for fathers, but it's restricted to just black people, so nobody shows up, ha 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 ha, or whatever. Like, you can say, like, oh, that's a joke, he's being a troll, he's satirizing, whatever the fuck. But, like, what's the joke? Like, it's a racist joke. Like, I'm appealing to a racist stereotype caricature to get the humor. Like, that's not a joke, right? The underlying sentiment is not a joke. Like, it represents something real. People's brains get really weird when it comes to humor, where they just for some reason they can just literally throw out everything. I don't know. That's my
when
guess.
One of your DG Shedder said, no, Fuentes doesn't have any solid views. I agree with Miller. But
he's retarded.
It's like a variety show. Hassan, like, has passionate left-wing views, and they should be grappled with, I think.
Who says that 9/11 was America's fault and that, like, I don't think this is a serious person. This is my part of my problem. Now, and I'm going to both state a problem, and then I think one of the ways in which strategically this is bad. Nick Fuentes and Hassan Piker are both being elevated in the discourse because there's a Streisand effect happening. This I do write about in the book. The Streisand effect that makes these people more powerful, that gives these people a bigger platform. Whether it is the earnestness of Hassan or the nihilism of Fuentes, right? People are, like, kind of there for that experience, and they it raises their curiosity. This happened with Andrew Tate. Like, there is just a series of people where the outrage against them is making them more powerful. That being said, understanding that dynamic doesn't mean that, like, there's just sort of a right is still right and wrong is still wrong. Like, I do think Hassan, but, like, I felt this way about Mamdani.
No, it was on my show. Does that just make you uncomfortable? Like, the phrase globalized intifada, from the river to the sea?
To me, ultimately, what I hear in so many is a desperate desire for equality and equal rights in standing up for Palestinian human rights. And I think what's difficult also is that the very word has been used by the Holocaust Museum when translating the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising into Arabic, because it's a word that means struggle.
Sure.
And as a Muslim man who grew up post 9/11, I'm all too familiar in the way in which Arabic words can be twisted, can be distorted, can be used to justify any kind of meaning.
Yep.
And I think that's where it leaves me with a sense that what we need to do is focus on keeping Jewish New Yorkers safe. And the question of the permissibility of language is something that I haven't ventured cool. into.
It's like, I just feel like the phrase globalized intifada is not something people should use, because even if you don't intend it to be that way, it is heard by Jewish people as like, kill us everywhere. And So that should be condemned. And then I asked him if he would condemn anyone on the show.
But like, I think trying...
I asked him if he would condemn, and he wouldn't. Is that what he said? He would or wouldn't?
Condemned. And then I asked him if he would condemn anyone on the show.
I think he says he wouldn't, but I don't think Hassan would condemn it either.
No, of course not. No. I think, Mamdani, didn't he walk back that globalized intifada thing? I think he did, didn't he? At some point? I'm pretty sure he did.
But like, I think trying not to elevate these people in the discourse, or us being clear that they are malign actors, like we can wrestle with what they say. And actually, I want to say something, because I'm not sure if we've talked about this before. I was also on a panel with him, and I didn't know who he was going into it. This is like, actually the embarrassing part of this is that I don't like really know. I don't like follow who the Twitch streamers are. And I hadn't really heard of him, or if I had, I hadn't bothered to figure out who he was. And when he started talking, like, he kind of, the first things out of his mouth were like ridiculous, and they were attacks on Bill. And it was this like kind of, it was just like garbage lefty nonsense. And I also had a fight with him on the stage and condemned what he was saying. Also was like, this guy's worthless as a, like, I don't find him to be remotely interesting as a thinker or, and I get that he's got a big audience, but just because these guys have big audiences doesn't mean they're all created equal.
Again, I think this is why I know you, the 5 months thing, and right is always right. And I think that people in the commentary space that want to criticize him should. And I understand that right is always right. In my argument for engaging with him last night, I said it was like, even this week he attacked Scott Wiener, state senator out of California, for visiting Israel after October 7th. And I was like, that's a crazy thing to attack somebody over. That's an insane thing to attack somebody over. And that's wrong. And I find it repugnant, actually. But we can disagree about that. Here's my problem, though, is why it matters all in the context of Israel. You're saying that these guys are being elevated by the Streisand effect. And I think that is part of it. It is true. And I think that, again, and I think that's why this is counterproductive to have this fight right now for pro-Israel Democrats or centrist Democrats or whatever, any of those groups, because I think right now he's being elevated quite a bit. But I don't think that's what's elevating him. I think that what is happening in the world is elevating him in the moment. I'm sorry, this is like very uncomfortable for like defenders of Israel to deal with. But like, what happened was, we were in a world after October 7th where there were a lot of people that were too soon for my taste out there attacking Israel for what they're doing in Gaza and how they're prosecuting the war. And they're doing so in ways that talked explicitly about that.
Well, clearly anti-Semitic.
Okay, well, there are times that they're clearly anti-Semitic, but they're also
just fucking retarded too. Like, for anybody that said that Israel had no right to respond in a military fashion to the October 7th attacks, that's like that's a ridiculous position. But like, that was all these
people
people's
actually
positions.
Saying this?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
But okay, so people of
like Hassan Piker, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Other larger figures, no. But people like Hassan, yeah. This is where the whole, I would argue, when people are like, oh, history didn't begin on October 7th, right? This is where this comes from. Is that this is a retaliation for other Israeli attacks? Absolutely, 100%.
What do they want? They just, oh, terrorist attack. I mean,
they want Israel as a country to dissolve.
We'll just let them keep living there. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. They want, no, they want Israel's state to become a one state thing where all the Arabs can go back, all the Palestinians can go back, and the Jews are a minority. That's what they ultimately want.
Do you think that he thought then the October 7th attack was a good thing?
I don't think he would say good, but he would say it was like understandable. Yeah, he kind of does. That's where the baby settlers thing came from, because he said that like technically it's all active conflict. So, you know, it's all justifiable in the rules of war. This is where that misreading of a UN thing where they say a people have a right to resist their oppressors, even if it means using violence. When they're saying that over and over again, what they're saying there is that you have a right to kill civilians.
Even civilians are, you know, a valid military target in that point.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy.
Times where they were talking about things that other people weren't talking about in the news, like the amount of death and destruction that was happening to the Palestinians in Gaza. And
okay, I don't know what news Tim is consuming. I'm sorry. Bullshit. Every motherfucking outlet on the planet was carrying this news. What do we literally had that fake, the hospital bombing that was pinned on Israel, like, what was it, like a week after the war started, was carried by the BBC and every major outlet in the world.
the Al-Ali hospital bombing, that they said that Israel bombed a hospital and killed 500 people. Like, the whole world was covering this. I have no idea what Tim is listening to, where he thinks that everybody wasn't talking about this constantly.
Like, the amount of death and destruction that was happening to the Palestinians in Gaza. And they were talking about that passionately. And maybe they're passionately and earnestly anti-Semitic. Okay, but they were talking about this topic passionately. Talking about how Israel is a malign influence on the world. And that they have too much, and that they have too much influence in American politics. We're giving them too much aid. That AIPAC is too involved in these campaigns. And if you came and listened to my show a year ago, like anytime this topic come up, I was on the opposite side. I was saying, God, you're overstating. It's kind of anti-Semitic how you're blaming AIPAC for everything. You're overstating AIPAC's influence and all of their critiques of Israel. Israel has just done everything that they.
I don't know how to deal with this fallacy where. Let's say that I come in, okay, and I say that all black people have the murder warrior gene, okay? And a black person will murder a family member of yours because they have the warrior murderer gene. Unless you're like, I don't think that that's true. I don't think they have the warrior murderer gene. And then let's say that time goes on, and let's say at some point a black person manages to kill your family member. It's not accurate to say that all of their statements were justified. This is, I don't want to say low IQ, but this is like one of the dumbest takes that can possibly be given, that somehow you can just, like, it's almost like a JT, like a justified true belief thing. If somebody uses faulty argumentation to make a claim, and the claim is not true, but then at some point something related to the claim happens, that doesn't make all the prior argumentation correct. This seems like a thing that's plainly self-evident to me, but yeah.
Can you give another example of that? I'm a little confused.
So I'll keep it specific to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the claim that, hold on, let me listen to the exact example he gave, 1 second.
Like anytime this topic come up, I was on the opposite side.
Oh, so like, the claim is that Israel is bloodthirsty, they want to genocide Palestinians, they're ethnically cleansing, they're doing, you know, whatever they can, they're like, everything is a genocide from day one, they're just trying to do this. That claim, let's assume that, like, they do have a right to go to war with Hamas, regardless of what anybody says. They absolutely have that right. Okay, and then let's say 2 years later, we've gotten to a point to where, like, Netanyahu was literally trying to do, like, a month-long imposition to starve out, like, Palestinians or whatever in the Gaza Strip or whatever. Like, he became increasingly unhinged, especially once Trump was elected, which he wanted, yes. By the way, right? That doesn't mean that you can say, oh, see, look, so I was right from day one. They should have never gone to war with the Gaza people because they were always, like, genociding them. But they do this.
I see what you're saying.
So when Tim says things like, oh, well, look, a lot of their criticisms ended up being correct because Israel proves them correct. No, not really. And any fair-minded person, although it might be hard to find because there are Jews that will do this thing where anytime you criticize Israel or whatever, you're anti-Semitic. Those people do exist. But then you have people like Hassan who used criticism of Israel to be anti-Semitic. You can be critical of Israel and stand against Israel on a lot of different things, including with the way that they've decided to pursue the war in Gaza. That's fair, but you're not necessarily giving ground to the unhinged, like, Jew-obsessed, anti-West, anti-American fucking haters who say, oh, glad you're finally on our side.
A year ago, like, anytime this topic come up, I was on the opposite side. I was saying, God, you're overstating, it's kind of anti-Semitic how you're blaming AIPAC for everything, you're overstating AIPAC's influence. And all of their critiques of Israel has just done everything that they said. Like, AIPAC now is the key player in Democratic primaries and inter-Nicene primaries. They are the group that is putting the most money in. That's not a Jewish conspiracy theory. That's just what's happening. I talked to Democratic strategists. They're like,
I don't know. I'd have to check
AIPAC
in terms
is
of
putting the most money in.
I'd have to check in terms of contribution. But also, okay, yeah. Remember, there are claims that people dance between when it comes to AIPAC. The claim, the strong claim from their side, they might dance around this when they're pushed on it, is not that AIPAC is donating money to American candidates. It's that AIPAC is behind closed doors coordinating with Netanyahu and the Israeli government to illegally funnel bribery money to politicians in order to influence the way that they vote or something. Like, the strong claim is much stronger than just, like, AIPAC, you know, donates a lot of money to people for Israel's interests. Because that's not even a conspiracy. Like, AIPAC, it has Israel in the name. Obviously, they're advocating
for
Israel's interests.
It's
what AIPAC is. Yeah. that's what AIPAC does. Of course, there's no conspiracy there. Obviously, you know.
Yeah, but their whole idea behind it is that it's fucking Israel doing it.
The race is going to be determined based on AIPAC's involvement. Like, that's just is what it is right now. And Israel did then continue to go way overboard in their prosecution of the war in Gaza, and then not to mention what's happening in the West Bank with the settlements, not to mention the fact that they're invading Lebanon right now. And then we did get into a war with Israel. The Secretary of State...
Do we think the Lebanon invasion is a bad thing?
The thing is that Israel will always push as far as they can on anything. So I don't know about the current stuff, but my guess would be it's probably not good, given that I think they've already basically fucked up Hezbollah
And my understanding is what I heard last, I haven't read any of this, and I can't trust anything unless I read it for Israel, is that they're literally bombing Beirut again. So I don't know what the point is of that. Also, I read, I'm going by headlines, I have not looked into this, that there's a part of Lebanon that extends into, there's a thing in southern Lebanon, I believe it's in southern Lebanon, called the Latani River, which is like a place that Hezbollah would kind of lob bombs and do shit from across the river into Israel. And I've heard that Israel basically marched the IDF up to the Latani River to take that territory, which would be encroaching on Lebanon territory. I don't know how true that is, but...
I thought they went into Lebanon recently after the Iran shit because I thought Hezbollah was starting to fire missiles at Israel again. So they're like, okay, well, fuck it. We're going to go to the south and we're going to basically like create like a bit of a buffer zone in order to stop getting fucking rockets fired at us. Is that not what happened?
I mean, that probably is to some extent. Yeah. It's just a matter of how much they push. The issue, the annoying thing about the most annoying fucking thing about all these fucking people and everything is that just nobody that has criticism for Israel has literally anything to fucking say about the
Hamas,
Arab side.
Hezbollah, or...
No one has anything to say about the Arab side. So it feels like such a retarded fuck conversation where our analysis is exclusively centered on Israel with nobody saying fuck all about any of the other people and the players in the region. So it all just feels so fucking stupid.
Russia's just taking a buffer zone too. Well, Ukraine wasn't firing fucking missiles at Russia, you fucking retard. That's a bit of a difference, huh?
Said we got into because Israel was going to attack first if we didn't do it. So like sure, there might have been some anti-Semitic stuff mixed in there, and that's not good. I'm not okaying that. I'm not, it's bad. They should not do anti-Semitic stuff. But like their general critique of the lefty anti-Israel commentators like has borne out in the real world. And so I don't understand. I don't know what pro-Israel people expect. There's been a huge sea change. If you just look at the polls of voters, they're looking around. They're like, I am unhappy with the extent of our relationship militarily with this country. I'm unhappy with this war. All of the establishment figures want to kind of tamp that down. And there are these other voices out there that have been speaking about it. Well, obviously they're going to gain influence.
This guy actually got audience captured. No, I don't think Tim is audience captured. Chill.
No, I think he's just really good faith. I think he's like trying to see the best in people.
And shouldn't Democratic politicians talk to the viewers of those shows? They're not all anti-Semites. They're just unhappy with how things are going in the world.
What I don't like, and I don't want to say that I think you're falling into a trap, but I do think that there are ways. One of my biggest critique of Democrats in the book, and the thing I am urging them to do, is to get out there on offense, to say what they believe. Yeah. They should passionately argue against this war, if that is what they believe. If it's not, that's different. But like, they should passionately argue about it so that people listen to them. They have credibility on this. That doesn't require Hassan Piker.
True.
But like, who's doing
this idea that this
is part of the problem? Is Hakeem Jeffries doing that? Is Chuck Schumer doing that? Are the 2028ers?
No, this is where you and
Gavin Newsom came out there and was like, oh, Israel's an apartheid state. Then he apologized for it.
They should ignore, but this is why
who
they
is
should
the
ignore
avatar
Hassan Piker. They should ignore Hassan Piker at
ignore
all.
Him
they
should, fine with.
Ignore him.
Fine,
they should
fine
ignore
with
him
ignoring.
And condemn him, I think, if... I do not think it's hard. If you listen, when we were anti-Trump, right? The reason that we were anti-Trump is partly because he like loved to be in lockstep with all the grossest people who had gross opinions. It's like the very fine people on both sides. It's the way he checks in with Tucker. And the right would argue this. Why is J.D. Vance cozying up to them? Why do we condemn them? We condemn J.D. Vance for cozying up to bad people for electoral reasons. And that, I think, is the problem. That felt
to me
like your argument yesterday.
I'm not saying people should cozy up. This is where the folks that are attacking me, I think are wrong. I'm not arguing that they cozy up. It's fine to go on a show and argue, to disagree with them. What prompted all this was the...
See, that's this thing, to go on a show and disagree with them. I don't think anybody cares if anybody did that, but that doesn't seem to be what people are talking about, right?
The idea that John Ossoff has to condemn Hassan Piker...
You know what's funny?
Because Hassan Piker complimented him. That's fucking insane. Fuck you, is what John Ossoff should say. John Ossoff should say, you know, I don't know what Hassan Piker's whole...
He should say, I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is. Here's what my opinion is. I'm against this war in Iran. Yeah. I'm against this war, and I'm against this Trump administration that's killing people in the streets. And that's what I care about. And you want me to talk about some streamer? Eat shit. That's what I think John Ossoff should say.
And I was on your side. I was on your side on that point. It was the rest of it. It was last night. It was last night listening to it being that I do not think for electoral reasons they need to embrace Hassan. That is different.
Embrace? I never said embrace. I said talk to his audience. Talk to the people that listen to him and Joe Rogan and Theo, Sneeko, all of these anti-war people. That there's some anti-Semites there. I hear that.
But
guess
you can
what?
Do that without.
Guess what?
Without
Anti-Semites voted for Barack Obama. Anti-Semites voted for George Bush. Gay haters.
But you don't have to court
anti-homophobes
them. You don't have to court them.
Obama wasn't trying to court anybody.
No, but you have to have a message. Yeah, the voters. You have to have a message for the people that listen.
No, Obama was not making messages for anti-Semites. No.
The show.
Because of the anti-Semitism. Like,
you have to have messages
people
listen to the
shows.
It's like, oh, let's make sure that the people in McLean, Virginia, with the go to the parties in D.C. aren't mad. It's like, who cares what those people think? Talk to the real Americans that are flocking to these shows that are upset about what is happening in the world. Have a message for them. Talk to them. Go on those platforms to talk to them. And if then if the host says anti-Semitic stuff, say, no, I don't fucking believe that. I don't believe the Jews were behind Charlie Kirk's mortar. I don't believe the Jews control the weather. I don't believe that the Jews, like, there's a lot of, okay, whatever. I don't believe that we deserve 9/11. You can say all that on those platforms, but also say to people that, you know what I'm mad about? I'm not mad about some streamer and something he said 3 years ago. Like, what I'm mad about is this war that we're in right now. And I think that there are a lot of people out there that feel like the Democratic leaders are totally out of touch with their anger right now. And I think that this is just this kind of fight just exacerbates that.
I agree with that particular point about it exacerbating it. And so, I think that we should separate the idea of, like, Democrats should be going hard against this war. They do need to be more aggressive. They do need to speak to a wider audience. I do not think they need to do that with Hassan Piker, I think that they should be very clear to separate from the anti-Semites as they do it, because otherwise what you are doing is ginning up anti-Semitism. And yeah. I understand. And last night,
you know,
I was
here's the part of the problem. I'm just going to say it. I don't support anti-Semitism. I think there's a lot of anti-Semitism out there. I think that a lot of the people who are pro-Israel and pro this war weaponize this, though. And it's like, well, it's too anti-Semitic. If I would have said a month ago
that Israel is
weaponizing social media to try to brainwash people, you would have said that was anti-Semitic. A lot of big Israel defenders would have said that was anti-Semitic. Well, then Bibi went out and said that he wants to do that with TikTok. He sees TikTok as a weapon. Okay. If you would have said that Israel is going to drag America into a war that we have nothing to do with based on their influence over our political leaders, 2 months ago, people would have said that's an anti-Semitic thing to say. And now we're doing that. And so I'm with you. I'm with you. If you would have said that Israel is going to drag America into a war that we have nothing to do with based on their influence over our political leaders, 2 months ago, people would have said that's an anti-Semitic thing to say.
How is that anti-Semitic?
And now we're doing that.
There's like this conflation of like...
any criticism against Jews is anti-Semitic?
No,
or I guess Israel is a state?
So Israel can do things to drag us into wars that might not necessarily directly serve the... maybe interest in the United States. But this is technically true of every single country, right? Like, you can argue that the Ukrainian-Russian war is not something that's directly in the interest of the United States, and it's only going to drag us into that war, right? This is not, like, the strong claim, though. The strong claim is that Jews control society from the top down, from our media to our political infrastructure to our funding through AIPAC and lobbying and everything else. And so Jews are able to, in a very unique way, unique from any other country on the planet, drag America into conflicts that we're not interested in. The reason why we were in Iraq, they pointed to that Clean Break memo in 95 or whatever, and Netanyahu coming to Congress or whatever. Like, it's a much stronger version of that argument. Like, again, you can acknowledge that, and I've heard plenty of people do this without being accused of being anti-Semitic, that fucking Netanyahu, you know, talked Trump into doing this stupid fucking war. You can say this without anybody thinking you're anti-Semitic, like a very easy, clear thing to state. It's not that hard to do that.
And yeah, so, I just don't think that's anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's not, no.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not for anti-Semitism. What happened in Michigan is a tragedy. People should be clear-eyed. But also this notion that, like, that there's a lot of folks out there that are trying to police the rhetoric around this because they don't want Israel to be criticized in the full view of their actions. And there's a lot of criticism of Israel that is merited right now. And I just think that this, again, it goes back to who you empowering. I think that if you try to if on one side, Israel is starting a war in Iran and getting us into this quagmire and hurting people's lives. And then on the other side, you have people that are saying things about Israel. And like, you're out there and you're like, I don't like the way that you're talking. And that's the thing that you're very passionate about. And then you're not that passionate. You're like, well, I don't know. You know, Bibi's a partner. We've got to work with him. We'll see. You know what I mean? Like, there's a disconnect with people. And I think, that, again, you're empowering the actual anti-Semites. I think you're empowering the actual anti-Semites by not being just clear-eyed about the real threat here.
How is this different? This is one of the sort of the main thing. And this is tough, but I'm going to put it out there. How is it different? Our objection to Trump when he showed up, like, and this is where when people were like, it's locker room talk. I was like, you locker room talk. No, it's not. Like, the way they tried to downplay things, like, we stood against Trump. And look, everybody else on the right, I don't take a lot of their criticisms. Like, they're not in a position to levy this because what they did is say, you know what? We need Nick Fuentes' audience. We need Tucker's audience. We need to all get on board with Trump despite the horrific things he's saying because he's right about X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Right? Or and the populist rage that people had. Well, Trump is going to embody that. And we said, no, we stand against random rage from people or rage from people, even about things that maybe they're right to be mad about. Income inequality, stupid foreign wars, right? Like Trump had messages that resonated with people. And we were like, no, we stand against that because this guy is a foul person who is going to do tremendous damage to America. Yeah. We were right about that. I want to maintain that against people Hassan.
Well, and Hassan's not running for president. I've changed my views. That would be one. Number two, Trump was running for president. Number two is like, again, that's not really the apt comparison, right? Like the apt comparison is, should Republican politicians have gone to mega churches to talk to people that have, you know, influential pastors?
Yeah, Nick Fuentes wasn't running for president.
Terrible views about gays. Maybe they shouldn't have. I don't know. You know what I mean? But like, don't you have to communicate?
They definitely did do that.
Yeah, they definitely did do that. But like, don't you have to communicate to the religious voters on the right? I mean, some of this is not like apt because I think that like the Volk that listened to Hassan that like are mad about Israel like have a point, and like the Volk on the right that are like mad about mass immigration coming into the country like I don't think really have a point. But like that is like kind of the comparison, like in just as a strategic matter in retrospect, like obviously the establishment Republicans should have listened more to their base to avoid having them being overthrown by Trump. That's maybe more of the apt comparison with Hassan. But I just, again, this is like
I think this is funny.
Like my issue with the Democrats running for office that are in office and are in power is that they're not criticizing our foreign policy enough. Like that's my criticism, that they're not passionate enough. I don't think there's any risk right now, but there's like some emerging, I guess the example, but he's kind of moderated as in New York and that's kind of avoided foreign policy issues. Like maybe if Zoran was running for Senate, it would have been different. But like, who do you want me to condemn? Like who is the person in the Democratic Party that is advancing these real anti-Semitic views? Like Tlaib sometimes in the House, I'm happy to condemn her when she talks.
Tlaib, Omar. Yeah, sure.
Okay, but like, all right, these are a couple, like, two random members of the House. So like, sure, I'll condemn them. But like the power structures in the Democratic Party, it's nothing. This is nothing like Trump. This is not apt at all. This is not like, oh, you left the party over Trump. I was like, well, Trump took over the whole party. I fought him from within the party and then he took it over. And then I fought him from within the party. And then eventually I lost the fight and I left the party. Like that's what happened. Like this fight isn't even happening in the Democratic Party yet. Like the Democratic Party leadership is, in my view, like not radical enough. Like,
I don't think this
comparison does nothing for me.
Okay, well, let me just try one more time. Yeah. My objection in large part with Trump was that he tried to work on people's worst impulses, right? He appealed to the racism, the xenophobia, the hatred, the bad stuff. And I don't want Democrats to go down that road. I think it is very important when you fight Trump, when you look into the abyss looks back at you, and Democrats should avoid the mistakes that I think the Republicans made that made us leave, which was embracing intolerable people. And that point that you're making about Trump is a fair one. It is fair to say that Hassan is just like a streamer. He's not the guy running for president. But I do think the elements of your argument, which is that Hassan is representing an angry base and the base needs to be listened to, that's what happened with Republicans. Yeah. They're like, Trump represents an angry base and the base needs to be listened to.
Yeah, but I think the base is bright in this case. I think that what is elided in this conversation is, again, the actions of Israel. When I look at this, again, I do not condone...
To be fair, he's right here. You, Hutch, Josiah, et cetera, really have no smoke for Israel. It's the softest, most pussy critiques about a populace that massively supported Trump and a government that got a bunch of Americans killed and majorly contributed to this energy crisis. It's just true. That's not true. I have more smoke for Israel than any of the other fucking retards that you're talking about. Not Hutch or Josiah, but Hassan or all the pro-Pali retards. What are you talking about? I have plenty of criticism for Israel. You just don't like it because I have real criticism for Israel. Your criticism or the criticism of the pro-Pali people is that, like, we should just leave the whole Middle East. We should actually just make a one-state solution and then... Like, that's not real criticism. These are pipe dreams, right? These are literally virtue signal points that mean fuck all in the real world. Like, you can't call that real criticism because you take an idealistic position that, by the way, has gotten the Palestinians and all of the Arabs in the region basically completely made into subservient cucks for Israel, because all Israel has done is capitalize off of all the militaristic misadventures of the terrorist proxies that were supported by Iran. Like, that didn't work out too well for them. Hey, fuck off, you retard.
On to anti-Semitic comments, I specifically criticized his tweet this week about Scott Wiener. So, like, I think that it's bad. But if I am worried about anti-Semitism, in this country. Like, that is my top worry. And if you're, and that is what a lot of these groups that are trying to make Hassan an issue about. If that is my top worry, and my main focus is on condemning Hassan Piker, I think that you've lost your mind. I think that is just a totally counterproductive thing to do. I think that, A, by doing that, you're empowering him and empowering the views you don't like. And I think that the biggest problem with anti-Semitism in this country right now is that the United States is engaged in a war, and everyone who just has eyes is looking at this war and being like, I don't understand why we're in it. And the most reasonable explanation I can think
of. What's the criticism? First of all, I've literally said if October 7th happened, like on the settlements of the West Bank, I think it'd be a far less sympathetic view towards Israel, given the state of the outpost and everything else that the settler people engage in the West Bank. Number one. Number two, I said we should harshly sanction. I think Bush and Obama, I think, did this. Sanctioning different settlers that are involved in West Bank violence, I think, is something that's totally okay to be critical of Israel. And I think that you can condition aid or condition support with Israel on them making some kind of advancement or movement towards having a more unified Palestinian authority, a more unified Palestinian governing body between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. I think you can condition support, and you could even dip into that. Well, you could do sanctions for individuals that are involved in violence in the West Bank and everything. I think that's totally fine. I think conditioning support on some kind of future political progress towards Palestinian unity or some kind of governing body, some kind of like final solution for the dispute between these two parties. I think like these are all things that I say should be done with Israel to move them in a more positive direction. But nobody wants to even walk down that road. Instead, it's just like one state, 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 or just retarded virtue signal bullshit. Like for people that don't even know anything about what's going on in the region, like it's fucking retarded.
Think of is that Israel wants us to be in it because this is an acute issue for Israel. And I think that that's going to create a lot of people that are very upset at Israel and by nature, unfortunately, sadly, what is going to result from that is increased anti-Semitism. And if I was somebody who's worried about anti-Semitism in this country, and if I was a Democratic Party leader, I think that both the right thing to do and the strategic thing to do would be to be 100x louder in criticism of Bibi than I am in criticism of Hassan Piker.
So on this point, I'll just say, I think I am in agreement that strategically what one does, this is something people fall into, and I think Democrats do as well, where they focus too much on sort of trying to critique the thing they think is bad instead of saying the thing they think is right. And so what I would...
To be fair, whenever Israel does some fucked shit, you kind of caveat your criticisms with the, well, Israel is just being opportunistic and they're doing what any other country would do, instead of assigning malicious intent. First of all, I've never said doing what any other country would do. You added that. That's fan fiction on your end, number one. Number two, I'm pretty sure it's universally understood that when I say Israel will opportunistically capitalize on anything else they see in the region, that's understood to be a negative thing. I'm pretty sure I've said multiple times that like Israel is fucking over their relationship with the United States. They're fucking over the U.S. presidents. They kind of sort of fucking backstabbed Biden when it came to negotiating with Trump and everything as soon as he came into office. I think every single person on the planet understands that when I say they are incredibly opportunistic in terms of seizing shit, even sometimes to the detriment of other allies. I've brought up Hussein, King Hussein in Jordan over and over again. I've brought up political leadership in the United States over and over again. Like it's just fan fiction. You're just writing fan fiction or whatever.
But like for Democrats to do is like, go swing hard on how you feel about this, the way that Trump got us into this war, the fact that he didn't even ask Congress, that he has done nothing to ask the American people or make a case to the American people. Like everything about this from top to bottom has been an insane adventure. It's the exact opposite of what he ran on. Oil prices are now high. There's a million things to criticize. Go hard. Go focus on that. I don't think, though, I think it is a mistake. I think that it is a mistake to make it about Hassan Piker. I do think you have to drown out the anti-Semites and make a good, clear case that is steeped in the things that are right. And I do not think you need to. My last word is I do not think you need to embrace like Hassan. And I think it's fine to condemn him and then go make your own case.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't want us to. One of the things, this is a quick note to sure. Bulwark listeners, which is something that is happening that bugs me, is when people are like, the Bulwark is embracing Hassan. And I'm like, guys, I get it that Tim's got the big microphone, but like one man's opinion. Okay. There's many of us. We have a big array of opinions. We argue about them with each other. That's what the Bulwark is about. Yeah. And so if you want honest conversations about tough topics, like that's what we're going to do here. And that the Twitter discourse does a real disservice to this conversation.
Yeah. The world's complicated. And it's not clear what the right thing to do is going forward. And I do think that there's a lot of projection onto us and everybody. It's like people, you know, want to project their own hatreds or fears, and everybody experiences this. But I hear you on that. And this is why it was funny, actually. This is just a comment. We can go meta since we've expressed our contrary views. The meta comment, I think, is funny about this. Is last night after I did the stream, I did a, you should not do this. You should not do this. This is a bad thing to do as an influencer, commentator, whatever. And I try not to do this that often. But I was just
curious. You went and read the comments?
No, I tried to read the comments of the Bulwark Plus members. Join Bulwark Plus now because you're part of our community. I do want to hear their comments. No, I searched Twitter and Reddit for whether anybody was talking about it or linking about it. Like, I searched for like myself and Hassan or whatever, our names. And it was like pretty funny, actually, was that there are like anti Hassan clip accounts that like clipped two of the things that I said criticizing him. And like, it was like, Tim Miller goes after Hassan. And then there were like anti, you know, because they're trying to like make him a bad guy. There are lefty anti Hassan, you know, accounts. And then they're like, then they're like the anti Bulwark accounts, the pro Israel, you know, whatever, right wing accounts. Like, they had clipped the ones where, you know, I was explaining why I don't think the Democrats should distance from him, being like, the Bulwark is gone full Hassan. It's like, this is just like the nature of the discourse. And we started this here when I was like saying that there are like five subtopics here. Like, and so anyway, my closing point is, for anyone that wants to clip this, like, I do not like his politics and I disagree with him. And I think that we'll continue to fight over it. I think the question then is, okay, how do you engage with that in a way that's healthy? And is it in a way that's like burn the witch? Is it a way that's ignore? Is it a way that's engage? Is it somewhere in between all of those things? And I think that is where the question is. And my view is, I think the most important part about this too is like, how do you talk to, if you're the Democrats, to the people that listen to and trust him? And how do you build trust and gain trust with them without looking into the abyss and having the abyss look back into you, right? Without becoming him, without you yourself advancing views that are wrong or hateful or whatever. But like, how can you engage them without doing that? That's what I think that should be done. And I think that was kind of the crux of the differing views. So, do you have a final comment or should we let it go?
I think we can leave it there.
This is your secret pod. For people who don't get the secret pod, Sarah and JVL argue. It's like the Bulwark has one voice. Sarah and JVL literally have an argument pod every week. And it's like the only thing we put behind the paywall, basically, as far as audio.
Only half of it. But
yeah. So people can go check that out. Become a Bulwark Plus member on Substack or YouTube to get the secret pod if you enjoyed arguing podcast, because Sarah and JBL do this every week. I was happy that I got to have a bonus argument. So I appreciate you. I love you. And we'll see you soon. All right.
Back at you.
All right,
guys.
Bye, everybody.
Well, that's what I call
cool story, bro.
A cool story, bro.